Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levenstein, and welcome to episode 86, part B of Comic Timing. So, yeah, it's been a while since MegaCon happened, but I figured I would let everybody catch up a little bit on the past couple episodes of Comic Timing, because some of them have been a little bit long, to say the least. I know we've been a little, sort of hard to track with our release schedule, as, you know, the entire month of January we had one episode. And then for February, we had five. So, everybody sit back and relax a little bit. Enjoy the fact that you're only going to get maybe about three or four episodes this month. And you'll be able to, maybe listen to that entire, DC review episode that we did, which lasted about 4 hours, and Sean and Jim and everybody and all that jazz. So here we are with part two of our MegaCon coverage. Now, last episode, we did the review portion. We did days one and days two of MegaCon, and now here we are with the interviews. Now, at the end of this entire spiel here, we've got Brandon and myself wrapping things up with our day three thoughts. But other than that, it's going to be all the interviews that were conducted during the weekend of MegaCon in Orlando. One thing we cannot include, however, and major apologies to this, Brendan, an interview with Christine Bottoms, who we actually interviewed last year on Comic Timing, and we discussed it. We talked to her and everything this time around. The only problem is that Brandon was having some issues with his player originally. It wasn't set for mic in. It was set for basically the internal microphone, and because of that, the internal mic wasn't close enough to Christine to actually get what she was saying. I mean, you hear everything that Brandon's saying perfectly fine, but Christine's parts are muffled to the point where you really can't understand what she's saying. I apologize profusely to Christine Bottoms for this. I'm gonna hopefully get a link to her website so I can at least put that on the forums and stuff, just so that we can at least give her the proper plug that she deserves. I know that she's been doing some shows over the past year and stuff, art shows. So, Christine Bottoms, the name is probably going to be a little bit more familiar to you guys if you're in the Orlando area and you see that sign up there for her art shows and stuff like that. But again, thank you very much to Christine for taking time out of your busy schedule at MegaCon to talk to Brandon for a little bit. And we apologize that the interview will not be airing on this episode. We do, however, have interviews from the likes of Tony Bedard, Jimmy Palmiotti. We got Dan frickin' DiDio of DC Comics on this one here. We got Adam and Comfort. We've got at least three or four others that I can't think of at the moment. But, sit back, relax, and enjoy. We got one with the Diffuser that Brandon did. We got one with the voice of Winry from Fullmetal Alchemist. It's a cavalcade of interviews here, people. And, of course, I gotta say Rodney Ramos, because Rodney Ramos is the man, period. All right. Next time I see him at New York Comic Con, I'm giving him a high five, maybe a little fist jab, maybe a little chest bump. I don't know. But Rodney Ramos, man. Ooh, if you ever had a chance to meet him at a con, do yourself a frickin' favor and talk, shoot the breeze with him, man. Cause we got a nice 10-minute long interview here on inking and all of his experiences he's had over the years working with Marvel and DC. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. You're gonna love it so much. But let me not talk too long so you guys can actually get into the interviews here. We are sponsored this episode by Heroes Corner at heroescorner.com, like we are as always. And this month, just to remind you, the month of March brings PKD Media back into the fold for Heroes Corner, as PKD Media Presents number one is available. You're getting yourselves over 100 pages of story for only $7.25. Retail value of $12.99. And not only are you getting PKD Media Presents number one, but you're also going to be getting the four free Brent Schoonover print sketches, as well as the PKD Media audio soundtrack to go with PKD Media Presents number one. Now, how cool is that? Plus, and this is the best part, you've got a coupon for one free comic book on Heroes Corner to spend next month on them, which is great to hear. And this is a coupon worth the value of $2.39, which is the usual discount for a $3.99 comic book. So you're going to be getting one of the more expensive comic books on Heroes Corner. So definitely go and check out PKD Media Presents number one. And for that matter, if you haven't picked up the original Mercury and the Murd, you can do that this month at Heroes Corner as well, and that is discounted. The comic timing picks of the month, the review corner picks, Batman in Barcelona, Dragon's Knight number one. This one is Mark Waid in the world of Batman for once, and this one is 50% off of the usual $3.99. It's only $2 on Heroes Corner, so check that baby out. And we got Spider-Man the Short Halloween, which is Seth Meyers and Bill Hader, with some Kevin Maguire art for you. Also 50% off, only $2 on Heroes Corner. And Killapalooza number one is the Independent slash Vertigo slash Wildstorm, wherever the hell it's coming out of. It's technically a DC Comics book, but it's Wildstorm or Vertigo or one of those things. Yeah, it tells you how good I do my research, right? But this one's Adam Beechin, who, as you know, was the writer on Robin for a while and did some Teen Titans for a short bit. He's done a little bit of everything. Trevor Harrison, who's a fantastic artist, worked for DC, worked for Marvel. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, shebang shaboom. 75% off on Heroes Corner, only 75 cents, regular price of $2.99. And make sure to use that promo code CTROCKS, that's CTROCKS, for an additional 5% off on your first order with Heroes Corner. Again, this is only for your first order. So if you've never used Heroes Corner before and you're going to put in your first order this month, that is the code to use, CTROCKS, and you will get yourself that additional 5% off on your first order. Best damn customer service around. Where do you get it? Where do you get it? Listen closely. HeroesCorner.com. Damn Skippy. All right, guys. I don't think I really need to say anything else because... All right, it's episode 86 of Comic Timing. Great. Thanks, Raph. Yeah.
At least mine's on cue, though.
We're proud members of what?
The Comics Podcast Network.
Of what?
Florida.
Awesome. Watch, listen, don't watch. Just listen. Bye.
Be amused.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here at MegaCon. This is the first interview we're holding on Friday, and I'm here with inker extraordinaire Rodney Ramos. What's going on, Rodney?
Why, hello. How you guys doing?
Not too bad. Enjoying the con so far. How's it treating you?
That's all right. I love coming down here, you know. Florida's always nice. You know, I have people who come up to me and I find out they're my relatives and I don't know how that happened.
So don't ask questions, right?
Not only makes it nice to come down in warm weather, but it's interesting to find out who my relatives are.
Well, it's great. I live in Brooklyn, so, you know, I went from like the 40 degrees to the 80 degrees in 2 days, and to say the least, I'm enjoying it.
Oh, are you really in Brooklyn? I don't know.
Yeah, Brooklyn, New York. Yep. So I'm a local today, and my co-host lives here, so I come down from MegaCon. And that's the way it works.
You like the New York shows or anything like that, because I'm in New York.
I don't know.
Manhattan.
I was in Podcast Arena, New York Comic Con, with the Comic News Insider guys and Comic Geek Speak and all those guys. Right. So basically, that's where I was situated all weekend long. So maybe that's why.
Oh, I did see that. I did see a couple of booths. I didn't know you were related with Comic Speak. No, you mean it was right around that table?
Yeah. We were all part of the Comics Podcast Network. So basically, we were all there for that weekend. Yeah. So now you've got a couple new projects working on right now, like Bang Tango. Just came out a little while ago, right?
Right. Bang Tango just came out this last month, March. Second issue is coming out very soon, actually, this coming week on the 4th of March. Mm-hmm. And that's the new series. It's a great new series with gangsters, drugs, sex. No rock and roll, though. It's just Argentina tango and some Latin blood, you know?
Certainly Vertigo style.
Oh, very Vertigo style. And it has an interesting twist to it. So, you know, people are going to love reading it.
Well, anybody who listened to the last review corner I put out might know a little bit more about it. But yeah, to say the least, read it and you'll be able to find out everything. Yeah.
Oh, it's a page-turner.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Now, inking's like one of those things that I think is really starting to be discovered by comic fans now. Like for a while there, it was sort of like under the covers of art and stuff like that. Tell my listeners out there one thing about inking that they might not know.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about inking is... you could really tell, if you know your inkers, like over who they are over different people. Like, mm-hmm. You look at John Romita, he's been inked by so many different people. But you can tell what the person brings to the table. Like Klaus Janson, when he inks over John Romita Jr., it's a whole different animal compared to how Scott Hanna handles him on Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And, you know, people get used to looking at, if you follow certain artists and you follow the people that ink them, you could definitely see the change in style that brings something to the table. It's the same way a cinematographer brings something to a film.
Right.
You know, a look, a feeling. You know, that's how the equivalent of it in movies is the same thing as an inker. It's what he brings to the table in terms of the feel in inking over somebody's pencils. It's very distinctive.
It definitely does change the way the art looks. Like, I mean, you just brought up Romita Jr. I mean, I'm looking at the Klaus Janson stuff that's doing right now in New Ways to Die and now the current stuff. And his women look different. I mean, like I'm used to the whole square jaw thing going on. And Klaus, you know, like puts his own spin on things. And these are attractive ladies we're talking about here. It's great stuff.
Well, I mean, another good example of it is if you ever seen Frank Miller's pencils on the original Daredevil run, they were very loose. And a lot of it, a lot of the look of that was coming from Klaus Janson.
Right.
I mean, if you saw the pencils, it was pretty straightforward stuff. But how somebody would ink it, you could either screw it up or make it 100 times better depending on what you understand about how much drawing ability you had. And Klaus, who's incredible, has this incredible ability to take something like that and just bring it to life in such a way where you go, wow.
Right.
Put it in the hands of somebody else who doesn't know what they're doing, and they could easily screw it up.
Right, sure. Yeah, definitely.
It would have been a completely different look at a book.
And it all comes from experience.
Yeah, of course, definitely.
Yeah. You've done DC, you've done Marvel also, correct?
Oh, yeah. I did over 15 years at Marvel.
Okay, cool. Now, you yourself, I mean, which do you yourself prefer, DC or Marvel, when it comes to the characters?
Well, you know, I like them both, and they're both different, you know? Marvel has a, you know, it's your pick of what characters you like from the different companies, you know? For me, it's like my favorites are the bizarre characters, like Defenders. One of my favorite characters is Doctor Strange. You know, I mean, you like the ones that everyone else likes too, like X-Men or, you know, Fantastic Four. But there are distinctive ones like Doctor Strange where, you know, very close to my heart that I would like to work on.
Sure, sure.
You know, same thing at DC. There are just some characters at DC you want to be a part of. Like, you know, you want to be definitely doing some Batman because, you know, you grew up with it. You know, working on Batman's the best. But, of course, there's, like, you know, the JSA book or the JLA books. You know, the other team books on the side that you know, you get your hands and you start working on with those.
Right.
But it really doesn't matter to me because I really just enjoy doing inking anything.
Sure.
You know, there are certain things that surprise you depending on what penciler's on the book. Mm-hmm. You go, God, I had fun on that, you know?
Right. And depending on the penciler, I'm sure you have a completely different job to do, whether it's a penciler that puts more detail into their work or less detail, right?
Well, a lot of times I'm usually hired when the penciler's looser. Because I can finish stuff better than most people.
Sure.
There are a lot of tight guys, but like take Bang Tango, I was hired on to bring it in and tighten it up, and you know, tighten up the style and sync. Even though the artist had a very specific stylized look, I was still able to bring something to the table and really bring some character to it myself on my end.
And it's great too because I mean you get to say out there not only is this the penciler's work but it's your work too.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, it's a creative effort. You know,
sure.
You know, right down to the coloring too.
Now I see here I'm staring right at a gorgeous Nicholas Scott piece here, Birds of Prey.
Right.
That must have been a joy to work with, Birds of Prey, Gail Simone, Nicholas Scott.
Yeah, Nicholas Scott is fantastic, and I really have fun inking over her. I just recently helped out on some Secret Six stuff.
Oh, cool.
And she just keeps getting better and better every time I see her stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
I've got plenty of fans of the show and plenty of you know, companions that like adore Nicholas Scott with no question. I mean, and from what I've heard, she's a wonderful person too in real life.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, she's Australian, so it'd be interesting to finally meet her and hear that accent come out of this. You know, her. I mean, I don't know. You've seen the picture. She's very beautiful. It's like, so you're this beautiful woman with this Australian. Hello, how are you? And you're like.
I got a buddy in Australia that's on the show on occasion. He's always the one who gets the interviews with her because he's the one who's able to go to the Australian cons. He's lucky. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the one show I would definitely love to do, but I don't know if I could take the 22-hour flight.
Sit down there with a lot of comics and just enjoy them, right?
Well, if you go, you know, actually, the funny thing about in Australia is there's two shows literally a week apart from each other in different parts. One's in Melbourne and one's in Sydney. So you could literally go there for a length of 2 weeks and hit two conventions.
Oh, cool.
At the same time, if you could manage to stay that long.
Right.
Which you probably should, because there's no way you should be flying there, spend 22 hours
and then leave
there,
a couple days later.
And then leave a couple of days later, because I don't think anybody's body can handle
it. Oh, please,
that.
Come on. Well, it's like flying to Japan. Like, I've had buddies that have flown to Japan. They fly back 2 days later. I'm looking at them like they're crazy, because they just spent 2 days on a flight and right. were there 2 days. It's insane.
It's not enough. It's like the old Lewis Black joke that he did. Like, you know, he just took a flight to New Zealand and it was so ridiculously long. He said, why don't they just give everybody a stick and they put them in the ass and just spin around. It would be so much better than sitting in those seats for 22 hours.
Oh, dear.
You know.
Moose Black, man, is comedy. You're Jesus Christ,
if you ever heard that bit, you'll laugh your ass off. It's the funniest thing about flying for 22 hours.
I'm taking a look here, too. You did some Derek Robinson, huh? On the Transmet?
Yeah. I did 56 issues of
Transmet. Oh, my God.
Straight.
Dude, awesome.
I wouldn't let anybody touch that book. As a matter of fact, it's funny because Derek is a good friend of mine, and if I would, I'd call them couple of months earlier, I probably uh-huh. would have started with issue 3.
Oh, boy.
You know, because they were having problems with each of the different inkers. There was some personal problems that they had mm-hmm. that, bizarrely enough, the first guy had to leave, and the guy in the second issue had to leave.
Uh-huh.
The guy in the third issue was just a fill-in. The guy in the fourth issue was just two guys filling in.
And then finally, they found their way.
And the ironic thing was, is I was out in San Francisco visiting a friend who was getting married to this guy mm-hmm. named Weinhold. And he turns to me and he goes, you know Derek Robertson? I said, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. And he's like, well, he hangs up with my brother Matt all the time. I'm going, no way.
Wow.
And I call up Derek and I said, hey, you know, do you know this guy named Weinhold? He goes, yeah, why? I says, well, he's marrying my best friend. You know, she, you know, like him and her are getting hitched. And he's like, no way. And it was like this funny thing. We started talking.
Coincidences, man, you know?
And he told me what was going on with Transmet. I said, well, we've been looking for a project to do together for a while now. You know, let me sample over you and see how it turns out. And I sampled over it. And he loved it, and the editor loved it. And that was the name of the game right there.
And the rest is history.
The rest was just the 56 issues straight.
That's pretty damn awesome, man. I mean, Transmet's one of my all-time favorites.
Well, I enjoyed working over. The ironic thing is that even now, supposedly Warren Ellis had looked back and said, why did I stop at 60? You know? He really had a 5-year plan with it, which was interesting, because usually people don't have that kind of a, you know, see that far ahead and know that they're going to have to end the book at a certain point.
And the whole thing, I mean, obviously I saw some noticeable changes after 9/11 with the book and the way the tones shifted a little bit there.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, experiences changed the book even as it's happening.
Well, but can you imagine Warren Ellis riding through the Bush years?
Oh, my God.
Transmet, the ideas... apparently he, when all that started, you know, Bush started out well, and then eventually when things started deteriorating, I guess he's just sat there going, holy fucking shit, I wish that I had the book still going, because there's so much material.
The beast is real, man,
right.
The beast is real.
The beast is real, there's uh-huh. so much material he could have worked off of on that book. And, you know, it's kind of sad because that would have ended up, the book we'd probably be on issue 150 now.
Something like that, yeah. For what it was, though, you know, the 60 issues that it was, that's memorable enough, you know? We should just be happy we had that, I think.
Yeah, and they are reissuing they're redoing the whole trades,
uh-huh.
all of them, because the first trade on the series of trades, the first one was only the first three issues, so now... Uh-huh. The new trades have issue 1 to 6.
Okay.
And I think they're doing 6 issues per...
Complete
reissue of it. They're going to include the 2 specials and everything. So that should be coming out very soon.
Okay, cool. So where can we see your work upcoming in the next couple months?
Well, Bang Tango's out for the next 6 months. The second issue's out. And that'll go on for another... until issue 6.
Okay.
And I'm doing 2 issues of Hellblazer.
Oh, cool.
254, 255.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever miscellaneous stuff comes up and pops up, you know me, I just jump on everything.
Right, sure. There you go.
Hey, there's a fire here. Put it up.
the pinch hit inker.
Well, I mean, that's how it happened. I ended up on 52.
Uh-huh.
They got really tired of scheduling it down. I did a bunch of issues on that.
Oh, cool.
And then I ended up doing the same thing happened on Countdown. So I went on that, did a whole bunch of issues on that.
Sweet.
You know, so and then miscellaneous issues come up, like the Birds of Prey issue over Nicholas Scott. That was a lot of fun to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's whenever it comes my way, I'm not prejudiced about whoever.
Not picky.
Not picky. I love what I do, so, you know. no reason to say no. Unless there's something else on a plate and I'm too busy to do it.
Yeah, sounds good to me, man, definitely. You have a website out there you want to give everybody?
Well, I don't have a website, but if anybody's looking for original art, it's on. I'm part of Spencer's exclusive artist, theartistchoice.com.
Okay, cool.
You can find any stuff that you might look on there, you know. If not, you could always Facebook me.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Everybody's on Facebook these days, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's very convenient and quick, and people can find you, and I can put up when I'm here at the show.
Facebook plus Twitter, and you'll never do anything else in your life.
Oh, somebody wanted me to join Twitter. I'm like, I don't think I can have people follow my life. I'm in the bathroom now, Twittering.
Yeah. And that's what people do, man. It's crazy.
And they do.
Yeah, I
just wipe my butt. Great.
There was a Penny Arcade strip, like, right about that. Like, they're sitting there eating dinner, and, you know, Gabe leaves. I'm like, no, you're not going to do it. Not going to do it. Just pooped. It was a long one. And then, oh, you know? It's like, why do we need to notice about your life, man?
Well, it's going to be a funny thing. You know, like, I know you have, like, this microphone here.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually, it won't be just Twitter. It'll be, like, voice activated. You can tell people exactly what you're doing. Right now, I'm in the bathroom. I'm flushing.
Well, live journal, you could do that. There are voice posts you can do on live journal, and then people transcribe your post. I mean, it's crazy.
That's insane. I really think it's going to come down to audio bits, where you really hear audio bits of your friend going, I'm here at this moment, you know, if you want to come hang out.
Right.
I'm here at this moment.
Everybody go check it out, right?
Yeah, I think Twitter's a little bit too extreme. I mean,
for some people, yeah.
I really know that you just got up and had your coffee?
You got to be in the right mindset to really sit there and actually pay attention to all this shit, you know?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I always find it funny because if somebody knows where you live, you know, if they want to case your joint, the easy way to find out is out of the house right now getting some coffee. Won't be back for the next couple hours. Great. Thanks for telling me. I can rip you off.
Like, don't let anybody know that I kept the key on the grass over there, you know?
I just slipped my key and I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Well, speaking of places to find you, what are the cons you're going to be at this year?
I might do, well, definitely Philly. Okay. I always do Philly every year.
Mm-hmm. While it's still
about San Diego
there.
This year. San Diego's become so crazy and big. It's kind of difficult to, like, it's like walking a football field all the time. But at the end of the day, you just
totally
want to, like, kill yourself.
Yeah, I was there once, and that one time felt like three cons in one.
Yeah, and it's just too much. So I'm thinking about Dragon Con. I always do a show in Spain, in Avilés, Spain, which is really nice.
Okay.
And I just play it by ear, really. I mean, most likely if anybody Facebooks me, they'll be able to find out what shows I'm at because I'll actually post it.
All right, cool.
Posted this show already up there, so.
Right. And you're here now, so there you
go. I'm right here right now. Freezing my butt off. I came all the way from New York in a freezing cold.
And you freeze your butt off in the air conditioner.
Center.
Yep. Hey, well, don't worry about it. When you walk outside, it'll be 80 degrees. So all's well, man. All's well. Well, Rodney, thanks a lot for the interview, man. And we'll certainly keep in touch, hopefully.
No problem.
All right. Sounds good to me. All right. More here from MegaCon to come here at Comic Timing. Here on Saturday, it's Comic Timing. We're still at MegaCon. We're here with Brian Niemer. Comic Geeks, me, Brian.
Hello, Comic Timing.
How you doing?
I am having a blast.
And your belly is filled with Golden Corral.
Far too much. It's oozing out of my pores at this point, and I can't take it anymore. I've had enough.
Let's blame pants for that.
Yeah, I'm done. My quota is full.
So how's this weekend compared to last year?
I think it's about the same, man. I mean, today is packed.
I know,
Yesterday was a little slower, but that's cool because it's making up for it today.
Well, yeah. Well, I think that's more the economy than anything else. I think a lot of people just did the one-day pass as opposed to the full weekend just to get the experience.
Well, plus, a lot of people have work and school on Friday.
Yeah, true.
So what can you do?
Yeah, it's not like, last year, I remember, it fell out actually during spring break for some. So that's why a lot of more people were able to do the weekend thing.
That would make sense.
I know that Brent, that's the reason that he was able to come down the way he did, you know, because he had the full weekend free. He didn't have to worry about anything, you know. This time, don't tell his teachers, but, you know, he came down a little early. But that's just him, you know?
Yeah, you know. You can skip a few.
Yeah. So I see you're pimping a little bit of the wares of comics now here this weekend. Issue 3 doesn't exist. I know that.
It's all sold out. Yeah.
What are you going to do? But any interested parties this weekend? Any new people turned on?
No. Not that I can think of.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Nobody at all?
No.
Wow. What a boring weekend.
I know. Well, I don't know. It's still young, though. It's only Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I know. Although, I do like the exclusive pin for this year.
The Andrew Charpar Naruto-style Puppet Rios.
Which
very popular.
Quite possibly the first time I ever expected to see that in my life, man.
That's right. Yeah. And we've sold far more of the exclusive MegaCon buttons than we did for the New York buttons. So clearly, you know, Naruto Puberios is the key to success.
Naruto is, you know, he's cool with the kids.
That's right. Well, it's not even the kids. It's the listeners who are buying it.
Well, hey, that works.
So it's very popular.
Yeah, well, it's funny, too. Like, the age differences at this con are so, like, diverse. Like, you've got, like, a whole group of 50-year-olds running around, and then you've got the 13-year-olds there. Even a little bit more than New York Comic Con, I'd say, with, like, the age
by
variety.
Far. Yeah, there are a lot more younger people here. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome to see the future of comics right here.
Yeah, well, and again, a lot more manga than anything else.
And you know what? If you try to deny the impact that manga's having, all you have to do is walk around the show floor for 10 minutes and you'll understand exactly where the future of comics is partially.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the manga and the Japanese invasion, you know.
Well, I was talking to Adam of Adam and Comfort last night, and he was talking about how, like, on DeviantArt, a lot of the times they'll get comments like, yeah, man, I love your manga. Because, like, to a lot of kids, there's no such thing as comic books. Everything's manga, even if it's American, you know?
Right.
So I guess that's the future a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just so you know, I heart DMZ.
All right. Thank you for your support.
Well, tell people out there who might not be familiar the great DMZ debate going on.
Well, we read DMZ for a book of the month, and I loved it, and Jamie D hated it, and so we've been debating it ever since. It's been a back and forth, and it never dies, and so we're continuing, we're keeping the struggle alive by, you can vote with a pin for only 50 cents, you know, whether you like DMZ or you hate it.
You keeping track of the sales or what?
No, well, I made the same amount of buttons, so at some point I could just count the buttons that are left over and see.
Don't ask him about what
I think. Harding DMZ is winning.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, I'm sure Brian Wood will be thrilled.
Absolutely. I'm sure free publicity for him.
Exactly. Exactly. Tell me about it. And I guess basically I'll let things off with you did a little bit of the video this time. So is this something we should expect from Comic Geek Speak in the future, moving on to the vidcasts? What's the deal?
I like playing around with video. It's all fun. Right. And when we're out somewhere, it's interesting and exciting. So I get motivated to take some video, and so probably the next time you'll see video is the next con we're at.
Right.
Maybe a little at Wild Pig or something, you know.
You doing the daily releases like you did for New York Comic Con?
Yeah, we have one up this morning, and today's episode will be up tomorrow.
If only we had that ability. Well, okay, not ability. If only we had that drive at Comic Time. Like last night, we get back to the room, we're like, you gonna sleep? Yeah.
Yeah, well, we recorded for 15 minutes in the car on the way back from the restaurant. So
okay.
That was, you know.
That'll work.
It wasn't a super exertion of energy. Let's put it that way.
We pulled the You Guys, though, on Thursday. We recorded the Review Corner. No editing whatsoever. Just put it out as is.
That's
and I'm
the
like,
way to do
that's
it.
The way to do it,
boom,
man. I know. It's supposed to like the 7 hours I spend sometimes editing this shit.
Yes,
I'm like,
exactly.
Oh, my God. All right, you want to give the website out there for everybody who doesn't know, as if people don't?
ComicGeekSpeak.com.
Right on, right on. All right, Brian, thanks for joining
us. Thank you, Ian.
All right, more from MegaCon to come. We are still here. It is still Saturday. It is still MegaCon. And I am here with the dynamic duo of podcasting, Adam and Comfort.
Yay!
Adam Withers, Comfort Love. What's going on, people?
Oh, it's a big day at MegaCon.
Slowly digesting Golden Corral.
Yeah, that's why I was much better off with my free breakfast at the Hawthorne. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you probably got more sleep, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more sleep.
Well, Brent's phone went off around like 7:30. I don't know why, but I somehow drifted off for another hour or two, so luckily my life was better. Yeah,
you
yeah.
lucky bastard.
Damn Skippy. I'm also lucky to be talking to you guys right now because you got a very unique book out there, pardon the pun.
Thank you.
We've never heard that.
Wow. just like I'm sure Wayne has never heard. So how much do you enjoy the book?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly, for mimes. Yeah. Well, tell people about Uniques.
The Uniques is a book that is about a world where people with superpowers are an accepted part of society.
Uh-huh.
They have been welcomed in. We skip past the world that hates and fears them and move on to the part of history where they're just like us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where somebody with electrical powers is more likely to go work for the power plant then put on a costume and fight crime or cause crime.
Right.
Well, it's partly a book about how powers affect a world rather than New York, say, getting blown up every other week and then it doesn't seem to, you know, faze anyone.
The Empire State Building is actually self-healing.
Yes.
I don't know if you've heard.
Everything is made of self-healing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And another real reason that we did the book is that we really wanted to make a story about people first and superpowers second. So much like Battlestar Galactica is a story about people who happen to be in a sci-fi universe.
Uh-huh.
Uniques is a story about people who happen to be in the superhero universe.
Yes.
Right. And by the end of the first issue, we have taken the top tier, the A-list heroes, mm-hmm. your big archetypes, your icons, and we get rid of them.
Okay.
And they're all gone.
Wow.
And then we pick up with this group of seven kids between 15 and 19, mm-hmm. some of them children of that last generation.
Okay.
And we see what they do next. You know, wow. In a world where being a superhero is as much a job as anything else, what sort of a person still chooses to do it for virtually no pay, for horrible hours, and the struggles? You know, what does it really take to do that in a world where it's treated more normal,
yeah.
where there are real consequences to your actions, where you can't get into a fight and walk away without a scratch?
Yeah, our favorite superhero Kyle Rayner certainly proves that. How many women in refrigerators can you get?
Oh my
God.
Good Lord. Yeah. Well, but that's another thing that has bothered us in the past about comics is it seems like every time a writer comes out and touts a book that treats superheroes like real people, what he means is...
it's a big, shitty day.
It's just one horrible day after another. You know, the real world isn't nothing but misery. Yeah. Bad things happen, and there are consequences.
Plenty of good
and
days,
compromises,
too.
Yeah. But there are good days.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The book is really about these seven friends. And it's about their friendship and their relationships and how they grow up and the people they become as they grow up.
And we're watching this world through the eyes of these seven characters as they go from their teenhood into their 40s and their 50s.
Okay. All right. So it's a giant evolution of the characters.
It is.
Exactly. And not just these characters. Again, it's this whole world
evolves
this whole universe that you're actually paying attention to.
We start the book watching the last generation sort of stepping aside as this generation comes in, and then we're going to watch them eventually have to step aside and usher in a new generation behind them.
Like JSA to JLA.
You know, I'll even give you a quick example. We've got, you know, our Man of Steel character, if you will, Virtue. And Virtue has been around since
1939.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He has lived all this time to see all of these generations come and go.
So what he's doing is he's right now watching these next set of kids come in, and that's the third generation of superheroes coming to pass.
All of which he has been around to watch.
Okay. So he's watched them, made their mistakes and their achievements throughout the years, and he's had to deal with all of them.
And in the beginning, he's talking to one of our main characters, Telepath, and basically telling her, look, you're still a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take some time. You don't have to run into this. I've seen how this goes. Enjoy your youth while you have it. There's plenty of time for responsibility later.
Well, just like whenever the Teen Titans hear that, their response is, sure. All right, so when are we going out next? You know?
Anytime any kid is told by an adult, slow down.
Yeah, come on.
No kid wants to.
They never pay attention. Please,
come on. They never want to hear that.
Yeah.
It's not until years later that they realize how much youth that they lost.
Now, I know that you guys are working off, you know, hero archetypes here, like the...
Some degree, but
to a small degree, well, what we do is we take the, you know, big hero archetypes, say we talked about Virtue, we've got Speed and stuff like that, the work off archetypes, but we try and keep, for the most part, our seven characters original enough that it doesn't feel like you're constantly reading an archetype, and we spend that much time with them so we can really build those characters.
Archetypes are useful tools for world building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to focus on these characters, but we want to put them in a setting that feels recognizable to people.
Cool.
So that we don't have to spend 10 issues just explaining a world. And if you see the archetype, you recognize it. You're like, oh, that's who that person is.
And the archetype is there in part to break it.
Sure. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can make your own spin on things.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then the seven main characters are as original as we could make them.
Okay, cool. Yeah, now, how long did it take you to come up with the concepts and the costumes, all that jazz? Like, I mean, how long did the process take?
This has been years in making.
Comfort had the Uniques when she was, 12 years old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very, very young.
Wow.
So
it's
been coming up over the ages, and it was at a point when we both had stories to tell, and a few years ago we were like, you know what, let's just take one of these stories, and we chose the Uniques, and just started writing scripts, you know, making something really real out of it. And we had been playing with it during college for a long time. And we got to the point where we had 12 scripts, and we were, you know, we were looking at a few jobs that just were nice but weren't going to go anywhere. And we were like, you know what if we just took the plunge and did this series?
If we're going to take a chance on something,
yeah.
we're
going
to put it on the line and work for next to nothing and suffer for our comic. Why not do it for our comic?
Sure, as opposed to somebody else's. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I think you're pretty bold to do that because, I mean, in this economy, in this day and age, a lot less people are taking that plunge because they really don't have the time to do it. You know,
you have to remember, we're from Michigan. We grew up, our whole lives have been spent in a horrible economy.
Oh, boy.
As far as we're concerned, the rest of the country is just catching up with us.
And I thought New York was bad.
Right. Well, we don't mind living poor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And this has honestly been the very best year of our lives
really
to do
has.
This.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm very proud of the product.
If we could do just well enough to keep doing this, that's all we need.
Well, and it's a gorgeous book. I mean, looking at it, but I mean, both of the art and the coloring specifically. I mean, we were talking before the interview started here about how coloring takes a damn long time, and not a lot of people notice that.
It does take a very long time. We get the books out bi-monthly, so 28 to 36 pages. Every other month, and that's just a lot of time, partly because of the detail that we try and put into the book.
Well, and because we're doing everything, you know, we're both writing it, we're both drawing it, we're both coloring it. Issue 5 and 6, we were both lettering it. I mean, everything in this book is ours. So, you know, it takes two people a lot longer to do things than a big conglomerate of people.
Yeah.
Well, but the other thing that makes this a great time to be doing this kind of stuff is that as creators, we don't have to just deal with Diamond. We're not dealing with Diamond. So if you want to get this book, you can't go to a store and pick it up.
Yeah.
You have to go online. But with print on demand, you can get your paper copy for cheap from us, or you could get a 99-cent download and read the first issue for free.
Kablam, baby, kablam.
Absolutely. They've treated us very well.
Oh, yes. Amazing stuff, amazing colors.
And the things we've been able to do with self-publishing wouldn't have been possible even just a few years ago.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It is a convergence of events that has made it possible for the independent creator to actually try and do something on their own and have a chance at going somewhere.
It's all thanks to those series of tubes, man.
Yes.
All thanks to the series of tubes.
Yeah.
It's not a dump truck! Now, where do you draw your artistic inspiration? Because, I mean, looking at it here, I would say you're more of a Waringo type that tries to combine the realistic with the cartoony.
Yeah,
if I had to list four names, it would be Mike Waringo, Adam Hughes, J. Scott Campbell, Chris Bacala.
Okay.
I would say that would be the same for me, too.
It's all about animated realism.
Okay.
You know, it's a recognizably realistic style with all the detail that implies, and yet it has
the movement,
the emotion capacity of animation.
Great.
And when you get too stuck in realism, a lot of times characters can feel stiff.
Exactly.
But when you go too far into the cartoon area, they stop feeling real.
Yeah, that's when a lot of people would say, oh, your art is quote-unquote too kiddie.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, when in reality, I mean, you could be having a bloody, gory scene, but if they all look like they're animated, then you're going to get the stereotypes.
Like they're just having a cutesy time.
Right.
It takes away the edge of whatever you're trying to create.
You can't draw Muppet Babies and expect people to take it seriously,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's definitely good stuff here. You want to give the website out there to everybody?
Yes.
The website is uniquescomic.com. We've got the first issue available for free download.
Ooh.
So if you want to give it a try, it costs you nothing.
I like free.
That's right. Subsequent issues you can download for 99 cents. We've got them in CBZ and PDF format. You can get 4 issues of our comic for the cost of 1 Marvel book. So give it a try.
Yes.
Really?
And Marvel. Please, take note.
The internet is out there, and it's coming whether they're ready or not.
He's going to attack you. That's how you found out about this podcast, people. Remember that. Well, guys, always a pleasure. You're 2 of the nicest people I've ever met.
I can definitely
say that. And we're back here on Comic Timing with more to come here on MegaCon. Okay, folks, back here at MegaCon. We're here with fellow Brooklynite Jimmy Palmiotti. What's going on, Jimmy?
Nothing much. Having a good time. Hanging out.
Awesome. How's MegaCon been treating you?
Fantastic. It's been completely insane. The panels are packed. The fans are great. More people than I've ever seen before, so it's great.
Now, you live down here now, right? I mean, you've been down here for a while.
I have a place in Brooklyn, and I have a place in the Clearwater area.
Okay,
so, yeah,
cool.
I love it down here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're obviously pimping back to Brooklyn, you know, your current book and a bunch of other stuff. You got yourself also Power Girl coming up.
Yep.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about Back to Brooklyn and what we should expect from Power Girl?
Well, Back to Brooklyn is a 5-issue miniseries from Image Comics written by Garth Ennis and I, and drawn by Michaelo, I'm going to get his name wrong every time, Vukelic. And it's pretty much based on a story that I kind of pitched to Garth Ennis, and Garth loved it and added his 25 cents, and we actually found someone crazy enough to draw it, and it's probably the most violent and brutal book I've ever worked on. And issue 4 comes out in a couple of weeks, so
Okay, and then
5 follows, and then we get a trade book, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's us kind of getting together and having a fun comic, not worrying about really anything except telling a good story.
Yeah.
And then also Power Girl coming in May with Justin and I writing it, and Amanda Khanna drawing it, and Paul Mounts coloring it. Power Girl number one, we're starting her from scratch. We're giving her a new job, new friends.
Oh, great.
She's apartment hunting in New York. we're taking her down to the nitty-gritty, and we're going to have some fun with her. And it's like big over-the-top action and fun kind of stuff. The key word for the series is going to be fun, superhero fun.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of eyes up here talk, right?
Yeah, some eyes up here, some don't touch my globes, some a little bit of everything. I mean, it's Amanda drawing it, so nobody has a more wicked sense of humor than Amanda,
right,
as far as dealing with female characters.
Oh, yeah.
Example, of course, like the pro. so she definitely has an attitude with the character. She loves the character, and it comes through in the series. And again, like, as we get into the book, we'll have Tara come in, and we'll have a lot of other DC characters come on.
Cool. Now you're a crossover guy. I mean, you've done inks, you've done you've done a whole bunch of other things. You've done writing, and you've also done stuff for stuff like video games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How different is it to write for a video game as opposed to a comic?
A video game takes all year, and you can write scripts that are like 300 pages long. And I've written with Justin. We've written like for the Mortal Kombat versus DC. We've written like, you know, I don't know, 5,000 lines of dialogue.
Oh,
you know, I mean, it's like insane. Like, the reason we get paid a lot for video game is because it's probably around 100 times more work to do it.
Right.
But very satisfying. I'm a video game junkie, and so it's kind of fun to do. And, you know, and things like Dead Space, where we get to write an animated feature,
sure,
is just another cool thing, how your words can be something that's actually moving and, you know, filmed. And so they're all related to me because they're all about storytelling.
Yeah.
So I hope to continue doing that kind of work.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. How easy is it to collaborate with someone else? And obviously, I mean, you've done a lot of stuff with Gray. You've done some stuff with, you know, Quesada, with Ennis.
Well, Justin's really easy. He and I are from the same school of madness. We kind of consume, we're huge consumers of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, TV, films, games, everything. And writing partner is not always easy to find, because you may not get along with them, whatever.
Sure.
He's a guy I got along with before we started working together.
Okay.
So it's been easy. And Joe was easy because he was a buddy.
Yeah.
You know, it comes down like that. That said, I also do a lot of my own work on other things.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, working with Garth is wonderful. He's just a great guy. And I've been pretty blessed with working, collaborating with people. I do like collaborating more because this is a job where you're alone a lot.
Right.
So collaborating puts another guy in a room and another gal in a room, and
easy to get somebody else to get ideas from, stuff
ideas,
like that.
Ideas, or they'll tell you that's a bad idea, and they'll tell you why. And
right.
It's nothing better than have somebody that you trust kind of give you an opinion, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely, sure.
Yeah.
You got a website out there?
We have paperfilms.com, and I do a blog on Newsarama every week, just for the hell of it. It really doesn't talk about comics, so.
That's like, that's pretty new, right?
It's called Listen to Jimmy, and it's me just going through my week of what movies I saw and how I fell down a flight of stairs and stuff like that. It's really goofy.
Like most blogs are.
Yeah, most blogs are. Yeah.
All right, great. Well, thanks for joining us, Jimmy.
Thank you, man.
All right, and more here from MegaCon Comic Time to come.
Cool.
All right, folks, we're back here at MegaCon. It is still gloriously, gloriously Saturday, and we're here with Tony Bedard, DC Comics, Marvel Comics, a little from column A, a little from column B, a little from everywhere. What's going on, Tony?
Oh, just, you know, pimping my stuff, man, and, you know, trying to stay alive.
Well, your newest thing to pimp is Rebels, which I know is sort of based off of both Legion of Superheroes and Legion with the periods in it from previous years. But what sort of stuff do people expect from Rebels? Is it stuff that you have to read previous stuff to understand, or is it accessible? What do you got?
I'm actually pretty happy about how much of a jump-on point it is.
Uh-huh.
I really tried to make it so you didn't have to be all steeped in Legion lore,
okay,
but it has all these visual Easter eggs in there,
cool,
so that if you were a Legion fan,
uh-huh,
or if you used to read the Legion book,
mm-hmm,
then there'll be things in there that you can recognize and enjoy on that level. But it gets off to a running start, and all you need to know is that this green guy, Vril Dox, Brainiac 2,
uh-huh,
is on the run. He's got some guys chasing after him, and basically he had his interstellar police force stolen away from him,
okay,
and he has to put together a little dirty dozen to go back and take it back. And, of course, nothing will go as he plans, but you know, it'll all spiral out of control, and he'll also find out he's up against something much bigger than he ever anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the basic thing, and it just is off and running. We have Supergirl in the first couple issues,
mm-hmm,
and I get to do something with one of her powers that I don't think has ever been done before.
Oh, wow.
And that was something I felt really happy about.
I'll be anticipating that then, yeah. Brainiac 2, proof that the sequel's better than the original, right?
Or, yeah, something like that. I've been trying to figure out how to describe him. Somebody told me he's like that Ben character in Lost.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's always about five steps ahead, and, you know, he might be doing a good thing, but you're probably going to get killed if you hang with him too long.
He's all about the mission and stuff like that, like
right.
similar to Ben.
Right.
He's
totally ruthless.
And Supergirl also has her own history with the Mark Waid Legion.
Right.
So she's been familiar with other characters in that same sort of realm.
And that actually ties into our story. Again, you didn't have to read all those.
Right.
Because it's pretty... What connection there is to Legion is completely explained within Rebels. But...
Yep.
Again, if you enjoyed those books, then it sort of widens the whole scope of what's happening.
And it must be nice to be working with Supergirl again, considering you had the opportunity on with Supergirls before.
I like Supergirl.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
a good girl.
She's well, you know what? And she can be a bad girl, too, as what was proven in her series.
Yeah, but I never swung that way, personally. In fact, I did 3 issues of Supergirl with this artist named Renato Guedes,
yes.
who's doing the Superman book now. Who's amazing.
Oh, he's fantastic. I love him, yeah.
But he draws people that look like real people.
Yeah.
And we were getting these internet postings saying, why is Supergirl fat? she's just normal.
She looks like a normal teenager. Yeah.
With all her ribs, you know?
I love how so many people don't realize she's supposed to be like 16, not 22.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I didn't like her being all slutty. He put bicycle pants on underneath her skirt. I thought that's great.
Well, and that's how I'm feeling right now with Sterling Gates and Jamal Igo on the current Supergirl book. Mm-hmm. You're seeing a real teenager.
Right.
And it's great. You haven't seen him like that in years, man. It's great. It's terrific.
Yeah, you know, I think when you're a little younger, you know, you could see a gal that age as, you know, a sex symbol or something.
Right.
I'm a dad. I can't come at it from that point of view.
Well, you sort of been DC's go-to guy the past couple of years. Like, when there needs to be someone to come on a book immediately, it seems like you're right there
I'm
to
Joe
come on
Villain.
In. So like, how long does it usually take you to write a script when it needs to be done right now?
About a week, usually.
Okay.
Sometimes it can go faster if it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to be able to take your time and refine it.
Oh, sure,
but,
yeah.
You know, I'd say about a week.
Okay, that works. And with Marvel, you did Exiles and stuff like that. Now I hear that Exiles is going to be restarting with Parker, if memory serves
me right. Yeah,
Jeff Parker is going to be writing it now. And this is sort of a new thing like that. Do you still follow any of the books that you used to work on? Or?
Okay. In fact, I think I've worked on a book, I don't want to look at it at all. Even
right.
if it's really
gotcha.
Good stuff. It's kind of like... You don't want to see your ex-girlfriend dating someone else, even
sure.
though you want her to be happy. You know?
I hear you. Yeah. Yeah, so you don't want to see what happened. Like, oh, wait, I wouldn't have done that. What the hell? Yeah.
You know.
Go back and surprise.
I think I probably, if I just sat down and cracked the books open, would enjoy them.
Right,
know?
Right.
But...
Yeah. Now with Birds of Prey recently ending, and you know, Oracle miniseries starting up and stuff like that. Obviously, we don't know where the character's going next. Do you yourself? I mean, do you know at all like where we're going to be seeing the Birds of Prey characters like next in the DCU that you can reveal? Or
I think that Misfit is in Teen Titans.
Teen Titans, yeah.
Yeah, and I think she actually has a long term outlook there. I have a pretty good idea what's going to happen with Barbara Gordon, but they haven't announced it. But I think everybody's got a pretty good idea.
It starts with a B and ends with an L.
Yeah. And but I don't know that for sure, I should point out.
Right,
no one's actually told me anything.
Yeah. Just rumors out there. Yeah. Not getting in trouble. Don't worry about
it. It's okay. Didio just said in one of the panels today that Huntress is going to be in one of the new Bat books,
cool.
Streets of Gotham, I think it's called.
Dini's writing that, yeah.
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 And I don't know about the rest of them.
Okay, cool. And what else do you have upcoming that you might want to get out there?
Well, unfortunately, I know what's upcoming for me. It's actually going to be one of the biggest projects for DC in 2009.
But
they haven't announced it,
right. Okay.
But, you know, there's more in the pipeline.
All right, other than that, Rebels, pick it up.
Rebels, for sure. It's the best thing I've done in a dog's age.
Awesome. You have a website out there or anything you want to pimp? Or?
You know, I'm on the Facebook.
That'll work.
And Rebels has a group on the Facebook, so...
Well, awesome.
I'm calling it the Facebook.
Now I know how to get in touch with you once this comes out. Friendship,
right.
Bada bing, bada boom. Problem solved.
I'm there.
All right, well, Tony, thanks for joining us here at MegaCon, and enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Thank you.
All right, more comic time to come. And folks, we return here at MegaCon. It is still Saturday, and I'm here with Mark Wade. How's it been treating you this weekend, Mark?
So far, so good. It's a great show.
Awesome. Sounds good to me. Now, you got a lot of stuff coming out of Boom now.
Yes, we do.
Both licensed properties and new stuff. Now, how difficult is it to get the licenses, like Eureka, stuff like that, over to Boom in the first place?
It depends. Some of them are easy. Eureka was very easy because Andrew Cosby, who created the show Eureka, also co-owns Boom.
Oh, great. Well, that works.
Made it much easier. On the other hand, the Farscape guys were very, the Henson guys at Farscape were very eager to work with us,
okay.
Which is great. I mean, the tough get was obviously the Pixar books,
mm-hmm.
but Disney and Pixar, and we have been working well together at this point. So we've got The Incredibles coming out in March, we have Cars coming out in March, we have Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, all those Pixar books coming out in April and May as ongoing series,
yep.
And we couldn't be happier about that.
Now, a lot of different varieties of genres there you're working with. I mean, you're working with the sci-fi, you're working with the Henson stuff, you know.
The horror stuff, right.
Now, was this by design to get as many different varieties of stuff out there as possible to try?
Well, kind of. I mean, I think we sort of stumbled into zombies and Cthulhu stuff at first because that was filling a niche that wasn't being filled in the marketplace. There wasn't a whole lot of horror out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we, you know, it just gives us a chance, to with the Pixar stuff, it gives us a chance to find the audience that isn't being served by mainstream comics, which is anybody under the age of 45.
Yeah.
I'm very stoked about that.
Now, and your own stuff like Potter's Field, has that been living up to expectations sales-wise and everything?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Potter's Field's done pretty well for us. That's the detective series that I do. But the things that we're most excited about, like in terms of the stuff I'm doing coming up, we've got a book called Irredeemable that starts in April.
Mm-hmm.
That is the high concept there is, what if the world's greatest superhero became the world's greatest supervillain?
Ah, okay.
And it's not just a light switch. It's not like you suddenly become a villain one day. It's that sort of dark descent spiral into sort of madness. And I'm really excited about the way that is coming out. There's an artist named Peter Krause who does the interiors. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
We've got John Cassaday doing covers.
Okay.
We've got Eric Kitson doing covers. We've got Gene Ha doing covers. That's one of them, and the other book I've got coming out in May is called The Unknown,
okay.
Which is a detective series, and I'm just very excited about both these things.
Irredeemable will be the source of Mark Wade is evil.
That's the one. Our marketing guy said, you know, that's a good phrase, and I'm like, oh, my mother will cry, but all right, if you know, and sure enough, I walk around, I see people wearing Mark Wade is evil t-shirts, and I don't take it personally.
Well, it's great, because now for the rest of the life of the internet, there's going to be that one picture of you holding up the Mark Wade is evil shirt. You're never going to be able to live that down.
Exactly. Oh, there are so many other things in the internet that I have a harder time living down than that. I wouldn't worry. That's the least of my problems.
And you return now to Spider-Man as well with the whole Brand New Day thing. Obviously, that's a little different because, well, you go from a married Spider-Man to a not-so-married Spider-Man. You yourself, which do you yourself prefer?
I personally prefer the non-married Spider-Man.
Okay.
Just because it's not just a matter of nostalgia. It's that I personally like better a Peter Parker who is always, like, getting a tough break.
Right.
And it's hard to convince me that a guy who's married to a supermodel like Mary Jane really has a tough life.
A little difficult. Yeah, especially when they were living in the penthouse for a while there.
Exactly,
it was like, where's the toughness going
here? Yeah.
What's going on? But and how about the fact that, my God, that Obama backup.
Yeah.
How many Britons is that on now?
Five or six or something like that. I don't know. I mean, it's certainly the best-selling Amazing Spider-Man comic of the 21st century.
Oh,
it's pretty amazing.
So, yeah.
And as of this convention, I've actually signed them all. Certainly it feels like.
Well,
it.
You should have seen Todd Knock's line in New York Comic Con.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah.
The thing is, though, I mean, what was so weird about it is that there were some people on there who were like, I was waiting for a sketch myself because I know from Young Justice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There were people asking me, so what else has he done?
Oh, they don't
and,
know. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the Obama comic.
Right.
They can roll it over on eBay or whatever.
Yeah. Now, how difficult is it to write a real-life person into a comic book?
Actually, I didn't do that Obama story. I did the other story in the book. I didn't do the Obama story.
Right.
But
okay.
3 months before that, we did the Stephen Colbert team.
There you go. Okay. All right.
And that was, and that was a blast. That was, I mean, I'm a big fan of Stephen Colbert to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to team up with Spider-Man, I was nervous going in because I know how these things work, and I was terrified that, you know,
people think it was too campy or something.
Or that Stephen Colbert's people would write back and go, well, we don't like this, and we don't like that, and could you put Dr. Doom in it? And,
yeah.
You know. And instead, their only note on the script was, we're having a geek-gasm. awesome. Well, Stephen, I've made them happy.
Stephen Colbert's a giant nerd. So.
I know, but even then you expect there to be some notes, and he was just like, no, right. We love this, go with it.
Well, again, this is the guy with Ted Jansen, enough said, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he just loves the comic medium himself.
That was a big honor. Yeah.
Like, it's great, too. I mean, guys like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, they go to the comic conventions, you know, that they enjoy themselves.
They
have a good time, yeah. So what else is upcoming that we should know about? Any DC, Marvel, anything?
At DC, there's actually a book that I'm doing coming out in May. It's a one-shot called Batman in Barcelona.
Oh,
and what's interesting about it is it's a co-publishing deal by which we release that comic in the United States and Spain and a variety of other European countries in different languages all at the same time.
Okay.
And it's a one-shot. You don't have to know anything about what's going on with Batman right now. It's just a straightforward Batman adventure. But it takes place in Barcelona, which is a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm.
And the co-publishing, like, international deal is what made it interesting to me.
That sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
So,
definitely. And over at Marvel, more Spider-Man.
More Spider-Man stuff. I've got another arc called 24/7 that comes up in about 4 or 5 weeks.
Uh-huh.
That's with artist Mike McCone, and that comes out, I should say, like the end of March, early April, maybe.
Okay.
And that's beyond that. We've got issue 600 of Amazing Spider-Man coming up soon, and all the Spider-Man writers are getting a crack at taking, you know, getting a piece of that.
And time flies, right?
Yeah, 600 issues. Amazing, yeah. So that's all the Spider-Man work I want. I'm open. They've been great about that. So my days and nights are pretty busy, yeah.
And over at Boom?
Over at Boom, there's the Irredeemable. We've got I'm writing Incredibles, which is our lead Pixar book. The Unknown, that's 3 books. Oh my God, I have a lot of work. What am I doing here?
I don't know.
Man.
Well, Incredibles, that's 2D artwork, correct? That's just transferring over to the 3D to the 2D?
Yeah, they actually Pixar specifically asked for that. They said,
good.
Look, we want to do modeling in a 3D format. We just do a movie. We want to take advantage. Comics don't do that well. What comics does is 2D well.
Stuff right,
well.
Right.
So do what you do well.
Okay.
And so far, they've been great about it.
Excellent. And the website for Boom is
boom-studios.com.
Boom-studios.
Rat Bastard actually bought boom-studios.com. Or boom-studios.com. Or you can find us by markwade.com, where I'm blogging on a regular basis about craft, about how to do comics, how to write comics, how to draw comics. And, you know, you can find us there, too.
Remember, hyphens are refined.
Exactly.
All right, Mark. Well, thanks for joining us here on Comic Timing.
My pleasure, sir.
Hopefully see you again next year.
Take care.
All right. More from Comic Timing. Rest of the weekend to come. All right, folks. We're back here at Comic Timing, and we got ourselves a special guest, Mr. Dan DiDio, editor-in-chief of DC Comics. Hey, Dan.
Hi there. Well, that's quite the introduction. I expected everybody to cheer, but nobody did. I guess they don't.
Woo!
Much better.
That better?
Okay.
Naruto sucks!
Oh, dear Lord.
Okay, so basically, Jesus Christ just gave somebody the finger. In case you were seeing what's going on here.
You know you're at MegaCon when Jesus Christ gives somebody the finger, man. So how's this particular MegaCon been treating you? I know you haven't been here in a while.
This is my second MegaCon. It's the first time in about 7 years, and... I'm actually having a great time. Like I said, one of the things that, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, the best part about this convention, it makes me feel old. No, and it really does. I mean, it's great to be in a show. It's so full of young energy and young people and all that. And, you know, from where I was when I first started with comics.
Oh, boy.
What's that?
Last year, they broke out into a chant, Yuri Yowie.
What's that?
You don't want to know. Trust me.
It's male mega porn or female mega porn?
Oh, okay, cool. Like I said, it's great to be a King Mega Guy.
Fun for the whole family, man.
Yes.
Fun for the whole family.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, my God. We come out here to escape the noise, and what happens immediately, that's the way it goes. So I know that there were some announcements this weekend about Paul Dini working on two of the Battle for the Cow books. And...
No, actually not Battle for the Cow books. It's actually two of the books that follow Battle for the Cow.
Oh, okay.
Paul will be writing Gotham City Sirens, the book that's going to be featuring Catwoman, Harley Quinn, and Ivy.
Uh-huh.
And he'll also be writing Batman Streets of Gotham, which will feature Batman, but a lot of the supporting cast members, including Huntress, Batgirl, Manhunter, a lot of other characters there too. So we're excited about it because Paul's just one of the great Batman writers out there. But more importantly, it's actually the first time he's ever writing Harley Quinn in continuity.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of cool.
Wow, that's really amazing. Yeah, I'm surprised it took this long.
I guess we forgot to ask him. I don't know.
Well,
we fixed it.
Well, in many ways, too, this is him, I guess, going back to the Gotham Girls, only making them a little more serious.
Exactly. And it really, what's good about it, plays into continuity. If you saw the last arc that he did in Detective Comics with Catwoman and Hush, you could tell, he can add a lot of danger and drama to what's going on there. And that theme, that tone, that voice is what's going to carry into Gotham City Sirens.
Right. Now with Blackest Night, obviously that's the next big event coming up in DC Comics.
Battle for the Cow.
Yeah, and Battle for the Cow.
Okay, thank you.
All right. You met her.
Okay.
Are we going to have a little bit of a reprieve on events after that, or
do we want one?
Well, honestly, I like it a little bit when books get a chance to sort of tell their own stories outside of the huge events for at least a little while.
Well, actually, the thing is that every one of the books will be telling their own stories while the events are going on.
Okay.
So, therefore, you'll see ramification events in books, but you know what? We have a great storyline taking place in Superman with the World of New Krypton. That story continues to develop. We have the Rise of the Olympian taking place in Wonder Woman. That story continues to develop. We have Battle for the Cal and all the launches of the Batman books. That continues to tell. We have Death Trap going on in Teen Titans.
Right.
There are storylines that take place following that. Justice League has a big storyline taking place once the team starts to reform. So every book, every major franchise has something going on right now. So what we've done is we've been able to create big stories that affect the universe but still be able to tell the stories in the individual titles.
Okay.
You get to have your cake and eat it too.
Awesome. How difficult is it to hold your tongue at these cons? Because, you know, like on occasion there might be something that slips out that's not really supposed to. Now, I'm not saying it's just you, but...
And the guys usually stopping me aren't here, so this has been a great show.
Wow, I can't believe Robin's doing that. What? Oh, no, look out.
It's just a matter of people asking the right questions. I'm just very lucky they didn't ask the right questions this time.
Well, okay, I'll try my best. Sure. Look out. Now, with stuff like Barry Allen returning in Flash Rebirth, that's going to be the entire Flash family, correct?
Absolutely. That's the thing, is that really is an exploration of why Barry is the premier Flash, why he's the most important Flash.
Uh-huh.
It examines all the characters in the Flash universe, all the speedsters, and even the Speed Force itself.
Right. Now, as editor-in-chief, obviously, plenty of things go through your desk. Some have to be, you know, confirmed or denied and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not asking you to name specific storylines because, hell, they might happen in the future. But, what's the weirdest thing that's ever come across your desk?
Oh, man. That's a tough question. Because so much weirdness crosses my desk every day. And I generate most of it. So it's really hard to say. There's a lot of strange characters, a lot of strange storylines, a lot of things left scratching your head. I mean, you know, I could tell you, you know, I've said this story before, can I do it again?
I'm glad I asked.
This is what I'm really in trouble for. Okay. When we came up with the Captain Carrot and the Final Arc, it was probably after the third or fourth margarita between me and Jeff Johns. At the Chicago Con, if I'm not mistaken. And that was between us putting so many straws together we could drink off somebody else's table. And we started to joke about Captain Carrot, and all of a sudden the whole story came to life, and it just went from there.
Oh, wow.
So that just shows you that there's no bad idea, just bad people who make them.
And you're forever immortalized as Panda Dio because of that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize they were going to take shots at me of that. And then my other big mistake was to tell Keith he needed a target and ambush bug.
Uh-oh. You know? Oh, boy.
Which I am regretting to this moment.
And Keith has got Doom Patrol coming up, which should be a lot of fun.
Keith has been after me for Doom Patrol for quite a while. And when I first got here, we had worked with John Byrne in setting up a series, and we had a lot of good things that happened there. And it ended a little prematurely, I think. So Doom Patrol is one of those franchises that has been near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. It's been a while, too.
Yeah. It's been a while, so from my standpoint, we wanted to relaunch it. We have some interesting takes on it. We're building on the things that took place in Teen Titans with Doom Patrol, which is important because it plays into the regular continuity, doesn't stand off to the side.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of echoes of all the things you've seen in Doom Patrol past, but really has its own personality, which is exciting to me. And the other thing that's fun about it is, you know, Keith let it slip in New York, and I guess I could say it again, is that the good part is that it'll be sharing the book with a second feature on the Metal Men, which will be handled by Keith, DeMatteis, and McGuire.
Oh, wow.
And it's a lot of fun.
The band's back together.
Yeah, it is, and it's a lot of fun because the great part about this book is that the Doom Patrol material plays very dark and dangerous and a little bit of a horror theme to it, and the Metal Men play to what you expect those three men to bring. So there's a real nice mix of storytelling that's inside the book and hopefully something for everybody.
Proving yet again that even though some of the JLI are dead, you have no vendetta.
No. Are there any still left alive?
Ice and fire for now.
Yeah, the whole thing is she was dead, we brought her back, and it's just a matter of time.
Flip a coin, see what happens next, right?
That's it, exactly.
All right, and one final question. How freeing is it to not have half your staff here? You know, over at WonderCon, split it up?
Yeah. They're more important than me. So, but I check up on them regularly, so that's okay.
All right.
I get to find out what they leak, and then I can do the same thing here. It's a little change, you know. It's a time difference thing. You know?
We'll be anxiously awaiting that. Definitely. Any other things you want to bring up or anything? Anything on coming
really.
DC Comics?
No, actually, it's a lot of fun. I'm having a great time with the show, so it's just fun to get around here. And like I said, it's kind of fun to see some of the costumes.
some people that really shouldn't be wearing what they're wearing, but that's okay.
That's the joy of a convention, though. That's what the fun is all about.
Definitely.
You know, it's everybody enjoying it and participating. And like I said, the thing that was really cool for me is I just stopped a Blue Lantern, a Red Lantern, a Green Lantern, which I didn't know they got along. It was kind of cool. All three of them walking together. And it's actually, we took a picture of them. We actually got pages now for Blackest Night 4.
Great.
That's great.
There you go. And I'm sure they're all going out for drinks afterwards,
Absolutely. Hopefully in costume.
Yes. My favorite one has been the Starfire I saw in full orange.
Well, I brought her on stage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because today's officially, believe it or not, today's officially George Perez Day in Orange County.
Oh, great.
We received a proclamation from the mayor of Orange County to declare today George Perez Day for accomplishments in the field, and we presented them with a plaque today, stating all this. And it was great that we were able to bring. It's great that he created Starfire. That's all I gotta say. I will ever be George's
fan. And I'm sure many artists are thrilled about it also.
Absolutely, yeah. And not when you stand next to them. Yeah, I got to stand next to Starfire, trust
me.
Oh,
boy.
It's a wonderful creation.
Hello.
Exactly.
All right, then. Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule for joining us here on Comic Timing. Okay. And enjoy the rest of the con.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, guys. More from Comic Timing to come.
Please, dude.
All right. Well, we're here at the Doombox booth with Travis Earle's guest, Yellow 18.
I'll kill you.
Hi, Sean.
Hello.
Long time no in person. How's it been?
I actually was sick this morning. Yeah, it's been good.
QQ already.
From Hooters?
Yeah, Hooters. I hate Hooters so much.
It's not Travis.
He's gay.
No, I'm Travis Earle's guest. Yeah. Number
He's Travis Earle's guest, number 18. Yeah.
So
you have something new to pimp this year, don't you?
Yes, we are doing Doombox now. We are Doombox Studios. We're moving towards becoming a publishing company, so we'll be doing, here shortly, we're going to be picking up several other books and be printing all of those and pimping that stuff. We're putting Codename Power on hold for a little while until we get the system set up, and then we're gonna come back and do that full-fledged, give it all the attention and detail it deserves. We're still working on it. We haven't stopped. We don't have the time or the money to produce it right now, and it's frustrating.
You need to redraw all the dead babies.
I'm sorry?
Redraw all the dead babies.
Yeah. No, actually, one of the cool things we've done is Travis has redesigned the armors.
Oh, okay.
We've picked up kind of a new style. We've again reading some other stuff. You know, kind of learning some other things. We're moving away from the full-on dinosaurs thing, like the different dinosaurs, and moving more towards a Voltron theme,
okay,
where they have pretty much like the basic models, but each one's different for each knight, as reflected by their personality and how they approach situations. So, yeah, we're taking it in a new direction. We're hoping to get it done in about a year. So, in the meantime, we'll be doing some other projects. I cannot go into detail of those yet, just because of the legalities of it.
I do not recall.
I can say we're doing stuff. I just can't say what we're doing.
Awesome, you're doing stuff. That's good to hear.
Yeah. So, I guess keep on the lookout for Doombox. We're going to be coming pretty hardcore here in 2009.
Awesome. Right, Travis?
Yes.
Awesome. What else do you have to say, Travis?
I don't know. As far as the Codename Power thing goes, I am kind of sad that we have to put it on the back burner. We'll be doing a lot with it ourselves. Like I said, we're going to be doing some marketing stuff. We'll be keep making sure people are still aware of it as we go into these other projects. We just won't be able to work on the book itself directly, but look out for marketing. Things like MySpace invites from the characters, stuff like that. And we'll be doing a lot of things to make sure that people are still aware of it, so that way when we go back to launch it again.
Rocking to Facebooks?
Maybe not Facebook.
Not too big on Facebook, but yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
Sounded like you wanted to say something.
We're going to be... we'll be doing some prequel stuff with them. Some not so much comics, but closer to more of a novel form. And so you'll be getting some more of the history of the universe as opposed to just, you know, just the knights themselves. So,
but not words with pictures. No understand.
Well, you know, not all of us like pictures. In fact, I have something of a bias against artists.
Really? Travis, your thoughts?
It's because I beat him every night.
Ow.
Yes.
That's about all I can say. Tell them what you're drawing right now.
I'm drawing a commission of a girl that saw my Green Ranger pinup and apparently is a huge Tommy fan like the rest of the world. And I'm doing a picture of her and Tommy in a very intimate situation. Probably sounds a lot dirtier on the radio than it does actually, like, looking at the picture.
Yeah, exactly why I wanted you to explain it, because I knew that you would somehow make it sound like sex.
Everything's sex. Everything. Doesn't matter.
Tommy and all sexy.
And yet again, Tommy the Team Ranger, the Green Ranger, not Tommy the Musical.
Yeah, that's right. He's got the mask on and everything. It's like a Frank Miller story in here.
Hi, other Travis.
Hello, everyone out there in internet land. Which is kind of weird. When I would watch TV and the characters on TV, he would be like, hello out there in TV land. I'd be like, no, you're the one out in the TV land.
I'm in the regular land.
Yeah, I'm in regular land. So, wait, no, technically I'm in internet land right now. So hello to the real world.
I'm so confused. So confused. You draw stick figures, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I can try to use more $4 words to make that sound better. But yeah, stick figure drawings and a non sequitur random comedy comic strip.
Awesome. So more of an XKCD style, yeah?
No.
Really?
No.
Really?
No.
Why?
No.
Okay.
No.
That explains so much to me. Really, it does. I mean, it's basically just non sequitur humor. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've always kind of done as kind of a BS past the time. And then Doombox came around and I saw an opportunity to, you know, take their inexperience and exploit them and kind of work my way and wiggle my way into the system, which is why I'm here at MegaCon.
Yeah, exploiting Sean is really easy.
It is. It's you know, if things are, like, you know, off by $2, or if you can put butter on stuff, or, I don't know, promise of acting work, or I don't know what it is, but...
Plus, you also get to be the token Asian.
What was that?
Plus, you also get to be the token Asian.
Yeah, that too, and I think, you know, it feels kind of weird, because I feel kind of racism, because the two white guys here at the table seem to be getting all the attention here, and, you know, it's like, I'm like I'm Asia as viewed by the U.S. I'm put off to this other world that's very foreign to others. So.
You know what it is? It's just stick figure art just does not get enough appreciation, man.
You know, it does, and everyone comes up here and sees all their other drawings, and I'm like, you know, we don't need detail. There's muscles there. I don't think we need to see muscles. I find that in a, you know, very disgusting fact. The muscles, the human body is a very disgusting thing. So I'm like, strip that thing down to its basic elements. That'll be as non-offensive as possible. So, you know, again, it's like these people are so disgusting that I'm only using their kind of first year to just kind of use them, exploit them. Like I said,
I've learned so much about you, other Travis.
Yeah, I feel we've bonded. You know, I'm in town for like 2 days and, you know, I don't drink, but, you know, I'm sure some bars sell, you know, soda and daiquiris that are kind of fruity, and I can drink those too. So, you know, I'll be in town. Anyone listening to this, if this gets put up, I'm in town, for a couple days.
Just look for an Asian guy named Travis.
Yeah, you know, I'm here to party, not you know, mouth party.
Yeah.
Whoa. I'm just saying. You know, when you get people on the internet, you know, it's mixed signals. You want to be real straightforward.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean, do you share his disgust for the human body?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Meh.
Can you please give the new website out there?
Yes, I can. It is doomboxcomics.com.
Because doombox.com was taken?
Was it taken?
I think so. I don't remember, but we're going to try to get it.
Yeah, so that's the new website. We're gonna be having it rebuilt here in the next month or so, and then after that we'll be having new content and previews going up, and then after that we're gonna be having new stories and stuff. So, you know, there you go.
My guarantee, it will not suck.
I guarantee.
Yes. And, you know, of course, I'm going to go to Comic Geek Speak here. And
what?
Comic Fair? Time.
What? 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 No, they don't exist. Sorry. They were made up.
You know, I'll come to Comic Timing first to tell you guys about it.
Yeah, that's better. That's better. That's what I like to hear right there. Yeah.
Sorry. I got confused. I'm sick.
Yeah, in the head. Oh, but true. Very, very true.
Just a box.
So we are live at MegaCon Day 2, and I am with?
The Diffuser.
How you doing, sir? How's your con going so far?
It's going awesome. I mean, there's nothing greater for a true comic geek to do than to actually get paid to hang out at a con.
Agreed, agreed. Have you seen anything odd so far? Anything fun so far?
I think the funnest thing I saw so far was a Captain America shield pillow that actually had the slots to put your arm in. And he had a pillow Thor hammer to go with it, so that was pretty fun.
That's actually pretty ingenious. So, now, what are you doing at the con this year?
What am I what?
What are you doing at the con this year? What are you promoting or what are you hyping this year?
Basically, what I'm hyping, of course, I'm selling my autographs. That kind of helps pay the airfare. Mm-hmm. But April 1st, my comic from Dark Horse Comics, The Diffuser in Future Imperfect, will be released April 1st to comic book stores around the nation.
Okay.
So I'm trying to just spread the word about that coming out this year.
Now, how would you describe your book if you're trying to make a pitch for it?
My book is basically very true to life for me as my life as a police detective.
Mm-hmm.
But my alter ego is the Diffuser, steps in to handle those situations that are a little bit above and beyond the average law enforcement agency.
Okay.
So I get called in to help with situations like hijackings and stuff when I can respond a little bit faster than the SWAT team.
Understood. So will he be having your same powers that you displayed in the show also?
Yes, basically being able to perform at 110%. Mm-hmm. Will be there, as well as my gadgets, taser gloves, glue grenade. All of that's going to factor into it.
Now, for those who don't know, the Diffuser actually was the winner of Who Wants to Be a Superhero. Now, what personal elements do you think came out of your character other than your background as a police officer?
I think I learned a couple of things. I learned that I don't always have to be the one to lead and take charge. Mm-hmm. In my personal life and where I work environment, that's my responsibility to lead and take charge, but I sometimes tend to go over the top a little bit when I'm outside those parameters.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that often stepping back and letting someone else step up, such as letting Parthenon take over during one of the challenges, was the better thing to do.
Okay. Now, what have you learned so far as your role as a hero? Have you been any role modeling or mentoring?
Actually, I created a program called Being a Hero in Your Community that I give about twice a month to Central Texas area elementary schools, 500 to 700 kids at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talk about how you, no matter how old you are, how big you are, you can be a hero to somebody.
Okay.
One of the first things you have to do is wake up every day and decide, I'm going to help someone today.
This is a very good philosophy. This is our philosophy saying, not me first, but someone else first. What can I do to make the world better?
Right.
Now, do you have any funny anecdotes from being on TV?
Well, you know, I've learned to do two things fairly well. Pose and speak in sound bites.
Ah, yes.
Like, thank you, citizen. Move along. Nothing to see here. And when the Diffuser's around, bad guys are going down.
One of my favorite catches from the series. Now, do you still keep in contact with anyone from the series at all?
Actually, almost all of them. We're actually in Orlando, and we're staying with Parthenon from the series.
All right.
We regularly hang out with Hygiena, whose name is Melody, and her husband, Mark.
Okay.
We see Miss Limelight, who's come to stay with us.
Awesome.
I try to stay in contact with almost all of them. Good. You know, a lot of them have very busy lives, but we've been bonded by something greater than all of us, and it's really pulled us together.
Now, do you see yourself going back to your civilian life one day, looking back and saying, I've done a lot?
Well, you know, I'm still a police detective. Mm-hmm. I still work that job 40 hours a week, minus vacation I take to come to cons and stuff.
Right.
So that's going to still be my priority for about the next 4 or 5 years when I'm able to retire.
Mm-hmm.
When I retire, I'll be 45 years old. That's still relatively young in the big scope of things.
Yeah.
And we're going to see if it's capable to take this whole thing to the next level.
Okay. Awesome. So once again, the book comes out on April 1st this year?
April 1st at comic book stores everywhere.
Now, you're doing something a little bit different with the book. The first issue will be done by Dark Horse, correct?
Yes.
And then each subsequent issue will be done by independent publishers.
Independent publishers, independent artists and writers who have donated their time, because all the proceeds from the book will go to our charity, Scare for a Cure, which is at scareforacure.org.
Mm-hmm.
It's a theatrical-driven haunted house, which will raise money for breast cancer and college scholarships.
Well, thank you in the future for your time. It's a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Where to go?
Can I come back down? Like,
We're sitting here at dinner. Travis just found God.
God is apparently an ice dropping tube. Who knew?
And what else is it?
It's
Southern speaking waitress.
Hello.
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 All right.
There we go.
Jalapeno cornbread muffins with pineapple honey butter. Oh, you can give me all that crap.
You are a goddess.
Woohoo. I have your gator tail in. Okay. Your drink is coming.
That's cool. I'm going to prep myself here real quick.
You should.
Cherry bombs are good things.
Are we going to wait on the unimportant guy to come to order?
I don't know. The new snarket hasn't called me yet, so I don't know where he's at.
We can always order, and then if he shows up, you know, force him to order immediately without even looking at the menu. Sunday here, people, still at MegaCon, and we are here with artist extraordinaire Frank Cho. What's going on, Frank?
Yo.
How'd the weekend treat you?
Great. I mean, so far, you know, until you guys showed up.
Oh, he went there. He totally went there. So what projects you have in the pipeline?
I just finished Hulk. I'm doing the Ultimates with Jeff Loeb right now. Mm-hmm. And probably going to finish up Jungle Girl series at Dynamite. Mm-hmm. And do a bunch of covers for Red Sonja.
Boom Goes Dynamite?
Boom Goes Dynamite.
Now, with the Ultimates, that's the second Ultimates book taking place in the Ultimate line, because I know that there's going to be an Ultimate Avengers as well or something like that. That's still a little confusing to me. I don't know. What's the deal? Are there two separate books?
I don't know. I mean, I don't read comics.
Oh, really?
No, I know what's going on, but I can't explain it because it's, you know, it's all this stuff coming out later year, so I don't want to give anything away.
All right. So let's just say Ultimates Volume 4. That's it. All good, all good.
Yeah.
And how different is it? I mean, obviously, you were working with a shorter story, a split story with Art Adams doing the red, and you were doing the green, if memory serves, or was it the other way around? You were doing red, and you were doing green?
Right.
Yeah. Obviously, that's less work for you, sure. But is it any different to work with a split style like that? I mean, you have less time to tell the story, of course.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool. Wow, that was quick. you can tell that this is my first interview of the day, man. I'm a little rusty, Now, also, how different is it to draw covers than actual stories? I mean, like, are you looking to tell a story within a cover, or is it just basically just drawing the characters?
Well, a cover is one giant panel, pretty much. So I prefer drawing the cover than the interior story.
Right.
But I don't know what the question is.
Personal preference, that's it? Just covers over actual, like, consecutive story?
Yeah. Okay. Mostly covers.
Yeah. Okay, cool, that works. And I'm apparently bombing, like, a giant atomic bomb at this moment, so you want to just give people your website out there?
God, what is my website? apesandbabes.com.
That'll work, definitely. All right, Nick, you can find all your stuff there and all that jazz.
Oh, yeah, all my pornography and another bunch of stuff. Yeah, it's the internet.
All the turned down sketches from Hero Initiative, that jazz?
Sure.
All right, well, thanks for your time, Frank.
All right, thank you.
It's still Sunday here at MegaCon. Of course it is, because we're still talking, and we're here with the lovely and talented Amanda Connor. Amanda, how you doing?
Just fine.
Enjoying the weekend?
Yeah, it's been exhausting but fun.
Well, what I love about a place like this is that you see as many anime cosplayers as you do see the superhero cosplayers, so you get a little bit of both in there, you know?
Yeah, I was just saying to somebody before, you know, Dragon Con is supposed to be the biggest costume convention in America, but I'm thinking that this might be running a close second.
It's getting pretty close, because, I mean, even at New York Comic Con, you don't see nearly as many costumes like this.
And I'm wondering if... It seems like there are less costumes even at San Diego, or maybe it's just that there are so many people diluting the amount of costumes that it's, like, hard to actually tell, but it seems like there are, you know, more costumes per capita at this con than even San Diego.
Have you seen any Power Girls running around?
No, but I heard there was one on Friday, and I missed her. I was so bummed.
We actually saw a quick glimpse of her, and it was a reasonable facsimile.
All right. Well done.
And speaking of which, welcome back to Power Girl.
Thank you so much. It's fun.
So what sort of hijinks should we expect to see in the book?
Just the kind of ones you'd expect.
Plenty of your usual humorous art to be shown, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a good mix of crazy action and humorous art at the same time, because, you know, I have to have a little both. I have to get my fix.
Does it feel good to be back with her?
It does. It feels great.
Who are your favorite characters, out of curiosity, to draw, both DC, wherever?
I do love Power Girl. I love drawing Power Girl. I love drawing Painkiller Jane. That's Jimmy's character over there. That cute man over there.
Just because he's here doesn't mean you have to suck up to him.
He winked at me. I love drawing her. She-Hulk I also really enjoy a lot, too. And Tigra. Those are my two Marvel character, my Marvel girls that I love to draw.
You hear that, Marvel? You hear that?
And DC, I do love drawing Power Girl. And I know there's another one in DC that really turns my crank to draw. I'm trying to think of, is it Batgirl? No, Catwoman. Catwoman. That I love drawing Catwoman. Yeah.
As we can see right here with the print.
Yes.
Now, how difficult is it to, balance the voluptuous with the powerful when it comes to drawing women?
Well, I just, you know, we all know that that Power Girl is well endowed, but we have to also keep in mind that she's sort of a female version of Superman, so you really have to make her look like she would really kick ass, you know. So that's, you know, I try and make her as cute as possible with lots of, like, she's very buff at the same time, but she's also very cute.
I've seen plenty of artists draw her with like the skinny waist and everything, and I mean, how do you support what's up here if you've got that down there? It's crazy.
Right, exactly. She does have to look like she's got some muscle under there, and not only that, like I try and make her costume very supportive. You know, lots of seams, and you know, she's probably got, you know, like some metal supports in her seams and stuff like that.
I mean, you've drawn as many men as you've drawn women, of course. Is it any different to draw a man than a woman in comics?
I think it actually started off being a lot easier for me to draw women, and I think that's because, and I talked to guys in art school about this a long time ago, and they always told me they had an easier time drawing men, and I was telling them I had an easier time drawing women, and I think it's because you spend your whole life looking in the mirror at what you are, so you just get good at recognizing and executing the features of something that you're so used to looking at.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it. So I'm more used to drawing girls just because that's what I've gotten good at, but yeah, I'm pretty relaxed doing guys now, but it did take me a longer time to figure out how to draw guys.
Okay, cool. And also facial expressions, I think, is one of the things you do best. I mean, do you look at other artists to learn how to do that, or was that just something that came naturally?
I think maybe, probably a lot of both. Both of my parents are artists, so I've been drawing since I could hold a pencil.
That'll work.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I would always look at them drawing, you know, and my dad, one of his favorite cartoonists is Jack Davis, and he would always do, like, you know, his stuff would always resemble Jack Davis's stuff. So I would watch him draw, and that's great facial expression stuff. And my mom, she has done children's book illustrations and textbook illustrations. She's a great painter. So watching her helps a lot. And growing up, I think the artists that influenced me the most were Hilary Knight, who did Eloise, and Chuck Jones, who's an amazing facial expression guy, and Al Capp, who's also an amazing facial expression guy. So, like, all my favorite artists, you know, I think that's probably what drew me to them, is that they were so expressive.
Right.
And now I look at guys, you know, I love Adam Hughes' stuff. He's amazing. And Kevin Maguire is great with the faces. Yeah. So it is my favorite thing to do, is facial expressions and body language. So, yeah.
Half the fun of JOI are those facial expressions.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what's great about facial expressions, too, is it keeps the art from being stiff, you know, because it actually feels like they're doing what they're doing on the page.
Yes. That's an important thing for me, is for when the reader looks at a comic, is to actually feel like they could really know the character and exactly know what those characters are feeling at that moment.
Right. And how different is a composition between a cover and the inside interiors? I mean, obviously, you're working with less room with a cover, but and you got to make it dynamic, obviously.
Yeah. Right now, I'm like I'm really into 70s movie posters right now. So I'm sort of you know, Power Girl number one, I was sort of going for that look.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, you do have to, you know, do a singular dynamic image for a cover to, you know, make it pop from the shelf. And and the inside, I love doing the insides because I love sequential story. I love being able to, you know, take a moment or a bunch of moments and just make it flow from, you know, one to the next. And that's my prints right here. That's what I started doing with Catwoman. You know, I decided I love doing prints, you know, for the conventions, but I really miss the feel of doing, you know, panels. So I decided to do a print that was panels. So that's what I'm going to do next year. I think for San Diego, I'm going to try and do a Power Girl one with panels. Yeah, using panels. But it's going to have to be big because I think it's going to be 6 panels.
Note to self, show up at San Diego.
Yes.
Now, are you the type of artist that prefers inking your own stuff or having other people work on that? Because obviously that does change the way that your own art looks a little bit.
Yeah, actually, oddly enough, last year when I started Terra, I realized something about myself that I got really bored with just penciling. And I was sort of tortured because Jimmy had been my inker for a really long time, and I, you know, never want to hurt his feelings. And I sat down with him. I was like, look, I'm so bored penciling, and you've been doing so much more writing, and, you know, would you feel bad if I inked my own stuff? And he's like, no, go for it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it keeps it really fresh for me, and I've been inking myself lately, and it's just, I've lost the boredom now. I was getting real bored just doing pencils, so now it's all fresh and new for me again, and I'm really enjoying inking it.
It's a nice way to rediscover your art.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, anything else upcoming that you can reveal about past Power Girl, or is it just Power Girl for now?
It's just Power Girl for now, yeah. It's where, you know, they're keeping it lean and mean and all about her.
Step one before you can get to step three.
Exactly.
And do you have a website out there?
Paperfilms.com is Jimmy and Justin and my website. So if you need to find any more information. I have an AmandaConnor.com website, but I neglect it terribly. So, yeah, Paperfilms is a lot more current.
Okay, great. And what other cons can we expect to see you at this year?
In April, I am doing Emerald City in Seattle.
Okay.
And then I'm forgetting. Jimmy remembers. He's the cruise director.
Hopefully San Diego.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, we can't miss San Diego because we get a lot of work there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right. Well, Amanda, well, thanks for joining us, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
I certainly hope so. More here from MegaCon, hopefully to come.
All right.
I'm here at a secret location here at MegaCon with Wayne Cordova.
We're at the non-disclosed location.
Yeah,
no crazy people come and attack us.
Don't tell anybody it's behind the mime sting. Damn it!
What? Come on!
Damn!
What are you thinking, sir?
I don't know, man. I don't know. And, okay, that is officially the first time at this con I've wanted to run away.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we just had a crazy dude named Peter. Hi, Peter, if you're listening for the very first time. I think Peter was a little high on the pocky.
A little bit.
Yeah, he was a little interesting, and the best that I can kind of describe him is somewhere between Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High and somebody who's just gotten electrocuted.
Well, last time I was on a line with anybody like him, I was waiting to get a Todd Knox sketch for Brandon at New York Comic Con, and guy behind me gets on the line and goes, "So who's this line for?" I'm like, Todd Knock. And he's like, what's he done? I'm like, oh, well, you know, Young Justice and Teen Titans, all that stuff. It's like, I got this sketch of Spider-Man.
I like
Spider-Man. Like, wow, that's great. That's really, really nice. Yeah. Does he draw Spider-Man? And, you know, yeah, he's done it on occasion, you know, stuff like that. What else has he done? And it went on like this for about 12 minutes. Eventually, he was like, he takes out a hardcover. He's like, I got this for cheap. He's telling me his life story here in like short blurbs.
He's like the kid from The Christmas Story.
Yes.
I like Santa.
Actually, you reminded me a little bit more. I like turtles. I like turtles. All right, let's talk business a little bit, Wayne. Let's talk business a little bit. How'd the weekend go for you?
You know, it's pretty amazing. This is my first time at MegaCon as a creator.
Hawking your wares.
Hawking the wares, man. I've been hanging out with Andrew Charpar. Couldn't ask for a better booth buddy.
Yes, it could.
Well, probably, but yeah. I wouldn't get one.
All right, fine.
I got the best one I can get. He's been really awesome and generous and allowing me to come and join him. And I've been telling people about mimes. I mean, honestly, we've probably handed out close to 400 bookmarks.
Great.
And the books have been selling. People have been interested in it and stuff.
Nice.
You know, and I'm excited people are buying the book, but I'm really more interested in just kind of folks, you know, just really finding out about it.
Right.
You know, and you know, saying, hey, I hope that Mimes guy is back next time.
Let them know that silent superheroes win.
That's right. So it's been good. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, definitely the most interesting thing about sitting behind the table this time has been, you know, typically when you go to the con, you know, you walk around, you can see all the freaks.
Mm-hmm.
When you're sitting at the table, the freaks come to you.
Ooh.
So it's like a parade every day at MegaCon.
Sometimes they're from Hawaii and like Pocky.
Yeah. I like Spider-Man.
He's cool. Do you like Spider-Man? I'm dressed... Oh, well, that was my favorite part. He asked...
He asked you what your costume was.
I mean, okay, I'm standing here wearing a Flash track jacket and we are not all jerks Diesel Sweetie shirt, okay?
Oh, God.
Now... What makes me look like anybody else but me right now?
Not at all. He's perfectly dressed as Ian Levenstein, and the dude turns to him and says, so who are you supposed to be?
I'm like, Ian, hi. And then he's like, I'm dressed as Spider-Man. He's wearing a Spider-Man shirt.
He's got a t-shirt. No. He's got a t-shirt. It has a picture of Spider-Man
on it
and a picture of Carnage. And then he says, I'm supposed to be Spider-Man.
Well, you know what it is? It's like the guy who wears like the t-shirt tuxedo to the prom.
I'm ready to go somewhere.
Oh, man. So what'd you do not behind the table this weekend?
I did a... Every bit of money that I made on Mimes, I spent. I don't quite have this whole business model down yet.
A little bit.
And so I've been going... I've been getting some sketches. I'm really... I'm really big now on my R2-D2 sketchbook.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been going around and just kind of asking creators if they wanted to... You know, I just give it to them, say, hey, flip the doof. If you want to contribute, you can.
Travis Earls to draw you an R2-D2.
Oh, where is he at?
He's down like two from here. I'll show you.
You got to walk me there. Because it's been a blast, man. And so they're going down and, you know, they're doing their R2-D2s. So some of them are really funny, really creative.
Yeah, I saw some of them, yeah.
I'm loving it. And did a little bit of shopping, a little bit. A couple of hardcovers at 50% off. Mm-hmm. I'm trying out Incredible Hercules.
Oh, nice.
I've never read it before. So, you know, it's Greg Pak, so you can't really go wrong. So
I got it for cheap from our favorite dudes at Heroes Corner, but, you know,
yes!
That's just... Yeah,
Heroes Corner!
Woo-hoo!
Comic Timing is sponsored by Heroes Corner at heroescorner.com.
Oh, no, we are not doing the advertisement now. Why would we do a thing like that?
Well, I don't do my radio show enough in order for them to, you know, to get the props anymore. Yeah. So
Radio Wayne, available every 4 months.
That's right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Subscribe, and it'll come to you eventually.
Eventually. Just like Geek Speak Report, it'll show up eventually.
Yeah, that's true. At least I got more episodes in this year than Geek Speak Report. So
my client has no comment at this time.
It's been good. You know, we're just kind of hanging out and, you know, got to meet Brent for the very first time.
Mm.
You know?
It's taken this long, man.
I don't know. Well, I don't even think we even bumped into each other last time at MegaCon.
We didn't. No. Well, I barely bumped into you. I was waiting online at the ATM. I remember that.
I know, exactly. So that's it. So this one's been really cool. That's the other thing about having a booth is that, you know, it's easier to find you.
Right.
You know, so I like that idea.
Yeah.
But it's been really cool, and we're just kind of, like I said, we're almost... selling Mimes. Not quite the super show sellout as last time. But what is really?
You know,
it's not. It's this economy, man.
Yeah. Well, that's
the Mimes need a bailout.
Well, okay. Well, the main difference is, you know, from a smaller show where everybody knows your name to one like this where, you know, maybe find a new people.
You
stuff
go
like
to
that.
Super Show, it's like Cheers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You go to MegaCon and you're lucky if anybody can find you. You know. So it's really cool. It's a lot of fun.
It's good times, man.
Did I mention I was with Andrew Chariapar?
Really?
One and only.
Really, Andrew Chariapar, the Andrew Chariapar.
He's waving.
He's waving at the podcast, Mike. Yeah.
It's Chariapar.
Chariapar.
Chipper.
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 Chariapar. Sharpen.
Sharper image.
They got Andrew right, so I'm cool with that.
Close enough, I guess. But you know who's not here? Harold Jennett.
No, Harold Jennett is not in. He's afraid to get on a plane. He's like Mr. T.
Oh.
I ain't getting on no plane. That's why I called him.
What's up with this jibber
jabber? So I gave him some milk and he passed out,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't get him on the plane. No, he's doing his thing up in Allentown, and mm-hmm. I hope to see him this year. But we've been in talks, and issue 2 of Mimes is in the works. You can actually start reading it now at mimescomic.com.
Ooh.
So brand new adventures, all new Mimes.
I
no
like
talk.
Free. Free is good.
If it's free, it's for me.
Mm-hmm.
So you can definitely do that.
Awesome. Sounds good, man. And anything else you want to plug or anything?
No, man, just check it out. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/RadioWayne. If you love the Radio Wayne podcast, you'll hate Twitter because it's that much more.
He loves the tweet. All right, Wayne, thanks for joining us as always, buddy.
Thanks, dude.
All right, more for MegaCon, maybe.
All right, it is MegaCon Day 3. We are live with
the lovely, the talented voice actress, Miss Caitlin Glass. How are you, Caitlin?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, now, for those that know, MegaCon is almost a half anime, half comic convention, and they have the stars here from many different series. If you can briefly give us some of the more popular series that people would know you from.
Most people know me as Winry from Fullmetal Alchemist. Mm-hmm. I'm also Haruhi in Oran High School Host Club. Let me grab the paper over here so I don't have to remember them. I can just read them off the sheet. I'm Vivi in One Piece, Riella in Gunslinger Girl, Miss Anderson in Shin-Chan, Narune in Shuffle. I've been very fortunate in the last 6 years to play lots of parts, and I'm also an ADR director. So I've directed Oran High School Host Club, One Piece, Suzuka, a couple of other things.
Now, speaking of ADR, how is ADR different from other recording and other acting?
Oh, well, ADR, which stands for Automated Dialogue Replacement, is just a fancy word for dubbing. So that means that everything has been created for you beforehand, and as an ADR director, I have to make sure that the script and the actor's portrayal of the lines fits the animation that is already there for us. So you just take it a line at a time and work with the actor to get them to say the line the right length with the pauses in all the right place. And sometimes you have to edit the words so that it will match the animation perfectly.
Now, you do a lot of come from Japan, you see anime.
Yes.
And a lot of times it has to be translated first, and then not so much translated, you have to get the gist of what's being said. What is the is that more difficult than just doing a straight translation?
We don't actually have to get the gist of what's being said. We want them to understand, here's what's being said. Mm. So we don't really, the only reason we alter things is it needs to be understandable to an American audience. And, you know, sometimes Japanese sensibilities and just Eastern philosophy and stuff is really, what the heck are they talking about? So I do not actually do the script adapting or the translating. We have someone who translates for us, and then we have script writers who adapt the translation to fit the flags. That's all that really means. It doesn't mean adapt it really to make us like it better. It's adapt translation to fit the flags of the animation. So that's what we do.
Now, what are some of your more fond moments of doing ADR?
Do you mean as a director or as an actor?
Either or, really.
Probably working most recently on Oran High School Host Club. I spent about 8 months or so with that show, working very hard and very fast with a wonderful crew of very talented actors, a lot of them veterans. It's a very, very funny show. So I enjoyed every minute of that experience. Other shows that I've really liked working on, a show called Bakano that just came out. It's about alchemists and prohibition and the 1930s and train robberies and gangsters and the mob. It's really fun. And my character named Miria is really crazy and crazy. So I enjoyed working on that a lot.
Now, you're not, you don't just work for anime, you're also a fan of anime, correct? What are some of your favorite shows?
I'm a real girly girl, so I like things like Sailor Moon, which I started watching back in high school. And some of my other favorites are Kari Kano, His and Her Circumstances.
Okay.
I also like Honey and Clover, Oran, of course. Then there are other things that are just awesome, and everyone should love them. I mean, who doesn't love, you know, Cowboy Bebop, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Now, you've worked with many, multitude of other famous voice actors. Who do you think play off your strengths as a voice actor also? We know we always see you with Vic Mignogna at this con as well. I think mostly only because from FMA, for Full Metal Alchemist. What are some of the other actors or ADR people who really know your strengths as a reporter?
I think all of us know what our strengths are. Many of the actors whose voices you hear often are also directors. So, which means that we have not just heard our voices in acting in shows together, but we've heard everybody audition. We know what all we can do. It's kind of like an acting company in a way. We still all have to audition for every role that we receive, but we also know what people can do and what they can't. So I don't consider that I work stronger with any one person over another. We all can adapt to one another in order for everybody's strengths to be brought to light.
Now, you've been at the con all 3 days. Have you seen any unusual, weird, or funny costumes so far?
There are some great costumes here. I love coming to comic and sci-fi conventions because I get to see different types of stuff. You know, I'm used to seeing the Narutos and the Bleach characters and 5 million Edward Elrics. But I saw some really awesome X-Men cosplayers yesterday. When I arrived here and stepped off the shuttle, I saw a whole Green Lantern Corps, which is really, really cool. I've seen a few Wonder Womans, a couple of Master Chiefs from Halo that looked really awesome. I got my picture with them. So, yes, this is a great convention for costumes.
Yeah, what's also nice about MegaCon is it's not just a con for the fans, it's also a con by the fans. Would you agree with that as well?
Sure. I mean, I'm here and I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. So Vic's here and he's a fan. And I think that probably a lot of the staff and volunteers, they couldn't put as much effort into this as it takes to make it successful if they didn't really love comics and didn't love pop culture or anime the way that they do. So, yes.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Caitlin Glass. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
And once again, this is Brandy here for Comic Timing and also Geek Speak at MegaCon Day 3. Thank you.
All right, folks, we are here at MegaCon. Yes, we do indeed have more, and we are here with the creator of Cow and Buffalo. Now, it's a very interesting concept, very straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's about a cow and a buffalo. Yeah.
So what do these cow and buffalo do?
Well, they get into pretty ridiculous adventures. I kind of tell people it's sort of a cross between Charlie Brown and Monty Python, because it's all ages, but it's also that real dry type of humor. The first book, Adventures in Sandwich Making, they actually just travel through time. They try to make sandwiches. I don't know if they really quite get there, but they want to. Who wouldn't? And then Super Heroes, the new book that I just put out this month, they try to save the world.
Okay.
They end up just getting stuck up in the clouds for most of the book, though. That's pretty much, you know, those are the two books. And then there's also a side story about my cat, Ash, who's also traveling through time, or so he says.
Or so he says, right. Now, the whole sandwich making, are they traveling through time to, make sure that the sandwich meat isn't spoiled?
Actually, they're just trying to reach the end of the book, right?
Okay. That'll work. That'll definitely work. Now you've got this online as well, or?
Yeah, it updates every week on Sundays. You know, there's a new strip that's sort of self-contained, but a lot of times, like both the books, the adventure will continue for probably almost close to a year.
Okay.
So for people who like serial comics or just like kind of standalone strips, it's there for both.
Okay. And you don't really need to have read the early stuff to know what's going on in the later stuff, obviously, right?
I hope not. I hope it's pretty... I mean, it's about cow and a buffalo. That's all you really need to know.
Not exactly a difficult concept to grasp, is it?
Exactly. Yes.
And no relation to cow and chicken on Cartoon Network.
No relation to... It's better.
Well, yes. You're the creator. You have to say that. Of course, it's definitely true.
Yeah. Well, I don't have to say that, but yeah.
No, and here, Ash the Traveling Kitty, is that actually based on your actual cat?
Yeah, it's based on my actual cat. He just travels through time. He's also just trying to, I mean, he just wants to sleep. And he just keeps getting stuck in different time periods and meeting different characters.
Doctor Who with a cat?
Yeah, kind of, without, you know, the phone booth. Yeah.
Aw, no phone booth, now I'm sad.
I know, it'd probably sell better if I had that.
All right, now, and your name is Matt Mayhack, correct?
Mike Mayhack.
Mike Mayhack.
Mike
Sorry.
Mayhack,
Mike,
yep.
Not Matt, Mike Mayhack.
There it's okay, yeah.
All right, and the website?
Website is cowandbuffalo.com, or you can also reach me at cowshell.com.
Awesome, great. And they can order this online?
You can order the books online, and you can, you know, just read it every week, every Sunday.
Sounds good to me. All right. Well, Mike, good luck, and thanks for joining us.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. More here from MegaCon, quite possibly.
Snake, answer me! Snake! Snake!
So there we are. I hope you guys enjoyed all those interviews that we just gave your way. Once again, hey, thanks to everybody for joining us. Thanks to Jimmy. Thanks to Dan. Thanks to Rodney. Thanks to Adam and Comfort. We got thanks to Mr. Wayne Cordova to put out there, and anybody else who joined us this episode. I want to give you a hearty thanks for enjoying your time with Heroes, enjoying your time with Comic Timing as much as we have enjoyed interviewing you. And we hope to see you next year at MegaCon. Hopefully, we'll all be there again. Once again, this episode of Comic Timing, this episode 86 Part B, is sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. The specials for the month are as follows. We got PKD Media Presents number 1, available for $7.25 on the site, and you're going to be getting 4 free Brent Schoonover sketches, free soundtrack, and a free comic on Heroes Corner to be used the month after this one. So go ahead and indeed order up PKD Media Presents number 1. All you got to do is order one copy of PKD Media Presents number 1, and you get all that included. So why don't you order 4? Seriously, Sean would enjoy that. And the Comic Timing picks of the month, one more time. We got Batman and Barcelona Dragon's Night number 1, Mark Waid's romp in the Batman universe for 50% off at $2. Spider-Man the Short Halloween, SNL meets Spider-Man, but it's not an SNL crossover, I promise, with Kevin Maguire on art. Yippee-ki-yay. It's 50% off also for $2. And Killapalooza number 1, Adam Beechin, Trevor Harris signed, 75% off on Heroes Corner, only 75 cents. And use the CT Rocks code this month for an additional 5% off on your first order, your first ever order with Heroes Corner. Best damn customer service around, heroescorner.com. So once more, I enjoyed my time at Orlando. I'm wishing I was there right now. It is 34 degrees here in New York as I record this at about 2:46 a.m. on Saturday morning. And yeah, I wish I was still in weather where I was able to swim. That would be nice. Well, sometime soon. Oh, and by the way, got to throw this out there before we end the episode. As if it wasn't bad enough that while we were down in sunny Orlando, we find out about Raph being on Wired. Yeah, go ahead and go to the Geeks Unite forums, because I linked to video of Mr. Raph Suhu on frickin' CNN, all right? This is getting ridiculous. This is Raph we're talking about here. He doesn't need media exposure, all right? Stop interviewing him. Just because he works at Midtown Comics doesn't mean he can get all this pimpage, all right? And I'm not jealous. No, I'm not jealous. No, I'm not, I swear. I mean, sure, he got to ring up Frank Miller earlier this week, but, you know, not jealous. Not at all. Nope. Suck it up. But, yeah, if you haven't watched it yet and you actually want to look at Raph's face, go ahead and check out that video, I guess. Anyway, yeah, we're done.
It's over, folks. We're send done here at MegaCon. Day 3 just ended. Brandon Christopher is plus a couple things, so is Ian Levenstein. Brett Cassina's back at his dorm, probably taking a nap, and then ending things off with a little bit of studying. But, hey, gotta do what you gotta do. Had fun with Brent while he was here, but such is life. Gotta end it.
It was a... kind of sad to see it go.
And the con itself?
Good. More so, I'm guessing, because of the economy, but it's still good, though.
Yeah, well, what was good about this year is that, you know, again, because of the different space and stuff like that, it didn't feel like you were tripping over everybody nearly as much. As we mentioned on Saturday was still pretty freaking packed and stuff, but today, things were much more subdued.
Well, the weather helped also with that, thinning out the crowd. Yeah, when we got here around 11 o'clock, it was pouring down raining.
Yeah, which does keep a lot of people from coming. Like, I mean, for instance, with Super Show, a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people I know, did not come when they you know thought that they were going to, because it was pouring rain at Super Show, man. It was crazy.
Well, it's Pennsylvania, it always rains.
So you picked up some goggles, huh?
Yeah, some googles. Got me some googles.
That's called a goggle.
It's a Google.
Goggle.
Google.
Goggle.
No, I want you to go home and goggle Google.
Anyway, the fuck, man. But no, they're pretty nice, and they only You didn't really have to pay too much for them, did you?
$15.
Word to your mother.
Although the ones I wanted were $20, but I'm a cheap bastard.
We got a couple of interviews today. Got one with Radio Wayne. You know, that's not exactly an interview, more of a conversation, but whatever.
Snap.
Well, come on, it's true. What? Come on, Wayne is a veteran the Comic Timing at this point. When we talk to him, it's just talking. It's not like an interview.
Yeah, true. I hope he pimped his book, though, hopefully.
Yeah, of course he did. Of course he is. Mimes Comics. Mimes.
Mobile Initiative for Muting Evil Syndicates.
Word up.
All action, no talk.
Did you pick up anything else today?
Some sketches from Travis. I've got five. Okay. Joni, if you're listening to this, I doubt you are because you're not a big podcasting person, but I picked up your sketches. You're not getting a single one of them. They are all beautiful, and they're all mine now.
You are an evil friend.
I know, but I'm sorry, Joni. If you put out more to me, I'd give them to you.
You are an evil friend.
She knows I love her. This is how we are. We do it between the both of us.
Fucking evil.
Can you make it one sketch, the Death Strike one?
My God, that's the weakest one.
I'm sorry, they're all gorgeous, really.
Give her one of them. Come on, one of the good ones. Come on, be a man.
The Asbats.
All right, done.
The Frank Miller Asbats had that too. Gorgeous thing that was.
Yeah, no, everything was great, and I mean, today we got our interview with Amanda Connor, which was very, very fun. Amanda is a sweetheart.
She's a great person. She really is.
No, she definitely is, and she gave Adam and Comfort some love also, which was very good. No pun intended on the Adam and Comfort love.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got a nice 2-minute interview with Frank Joe. Anyway,
Yes, no.
Yeah, it felt like I was on a panel with Dan DiDio. Let's put it that way. I mean, you'll hear it. It's just not the most interesting thing you've ever heard.
I believe you said, thank you for my first bomb today.
Yeah, basically. And I was still tired. It was still the morning, and yeah. I guess it sort of showed.
I mean, he's not an unapproachable person. He's a nice guy, but he's just a quiet guy, though. He's like a...
He's a quiet artist.
Yeah, yeah. We prefer he's doing one panels.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. You'll hear it on the episode itself. And I'm trying to think if we got any... Oh, yeah.
Caitlin Glass from FMA and many, many other animes. Mm-hmm. That's really about it, right?
And the cow in...
Yes. Mike...
Mike something from cow and... Cow and what?
Cow and... Buffalo?
Cow and Buffalo, yes. Cow and Buffalo. Not Cow and Chicken, but Cow and Buffalo.
Yeah, and also, what was the cat's name?
Cat's name was, what was it, like Apollo or Alpha or something? No.
Sorry.
Well, anyway, you'll hear more about it on the show. We're obviously, you could tell we're a little exhausted right now walking back, but we also hope that we're going to be able to get back tonight because, what's the forecast?
Let it snow.
Sadly, yes. Last we checked, it's going to be snowing in New York and Philly, so you might actually hear more of us, considering we'll probably be, you know, bored in the airport. But,
if you've seen the movie The Terminal, that'll be our life. Not be able to go home or go anywhere else.
Only hopefully we'll be a little more interesting. No, I can't. Actually, funny thought, not even funny thought, but first movie I ever saw with Chris. Not that we were together at the time, we were just friends, but first movie I ever saw with Chris after Mocha Fest was Terminal. Yeah.
Good movie. Mm-hmm. Good date movie, too.
Yeah. Even though we weren't on a date at the time.
What, group thing like this?
No, we were just friends at the time.
Aw, young love and romance budding.
Shut the hell up about young love. Oh, yeah, well, maybe if she gave me a little more, then maybe I'd get
it. Hey, I'm not looking for a girlfriend. I'm looking for... Never mind.
Poo-tang.
Poo-nan-ne. What's this song like, Bukkake?
And I got some Green Arrow issues, 6 for $10, which was good to see.
Plus, we also got a free comic book from Andrew Trevor. I got Secret and Dead Boy, and Robin and Bat Boy. If you, those who don't know, that's from Young Justice Into the Youth, which was traded, but I prefer it in single issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I got a... the first issue of Rogues War with Howard Porter on art and Jeff Johns on writing, so Chris can at least experience the first issue of that because I couldn't find anything else of it. But
one
what
of
he
five.
Did it? Yeah, one of five, whatever.
Well, speaking of one ofs, what'd you get from? What'd you buy?
Yes, for the lovely $3 I got from Wayne Cordova, a very limited edition set of Itsy Bitsy Spider-Man. Which also included the variant editions of Itsy Bitsy Scarlet Spider and Itsy Bitsy Black Costume Spider-Man.
Yes. I'm so sad I did not pick up the stick figure Iceman, though.
No, my favorite was the Flash, which was basically just a bunch of red and yellow swishes on a piece of paper.
You should have bought that and had Ethan Van Sciver sign it.
or like go up to Mark Waid and have him sign The Invisible Woman.
Like, what am I signing? Around the body. Yeah, what body?
What body? It's white crayon. Don't you see? What the hell are you talking about? But yeah, no. Overall, very fun weekend.
A small talk with Darwin Cook. We didn't record it though. Just talking about like his favorite. We found out that his favorite character actually was the Green Lantern.
Which is not much of a surprise, really. I mean, considering how much work he's put into Green Lantern over the years, you know.
I guess when he wrote New Frontier, I don't know why.
You are tired, aren't you?
No, I want to see Brave New World. I don't know why. But when he wrote New Frontier, you can tell that he put Green Lantern in the forefront for a reason. Because I said to him, he's one of those few characters who actually does seem like from another time.
Trying to put it up your nose.
I noticed that.
Well, it's hard to go back and forth while walking, what can I say?
Yeah.
But the reason you want to keep seeing Brave New World is because Flash and Green Lantern are Brave New World.
Yeah, that's the thing. It keeps making me stick my head about that. But, yeah, he said that Hal Jordan works best when he's in the era that he's supposed to be, because he really was the modern man of that time. Mm-hmm. You know, you have all the... And he didn't have the faggy cape.
Yeah, that's basically the way he put it. It's like, yeah, no, I loved Green Lantern. You know, he had a practical costume, didn't have the faggy cape, and everything looked great. So I got to talk to him for a while, and we basically spread the love all around. I mean, as you'll hear in the interviews, you know, on the next episode or however the hell I decide to do this. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Recap,
I don't know what the hell's going on, man. All I know is that this episode's coming out, and so is the next one, and we'll do something with the interview somewhere. I really am not feeling creative right now. I have no idea what the hell I'm going to do.
We recorded dinner from last night with Sean, Travis.
Yeah, for like a minute.
Yeah, with our snarky waitress.
I'm sure that'll probably just go in the back of one of the episodes. But anyway, yeah, so any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. New rules.
Final thoughts.
Should I do this Colbert style with like the word or like, you know, new rules style?
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Go to MegaCon. Get there early. Stay late. Be glad you did.
That sounds good to me. That's fine.
I stole that though.
Well, my final thoughts are fun convention. Nice to be in a place that's warm.
Oh. By the way, seriously, this is for people who go to cons and who have social awkwardness. Please leave it at home.
Yeah.
All right.
As you'll hear on the Wayne Cordova interview where we touched on that a little bit. Yeah.
Not so much that. I mean, but we got people who go to cons are just uber serious and uber strict. You know, cons are meant to be fun for a reason. You just you leave your dickheadedness at the door. Okay.
Yeah. Amen. By the way, fuck you.
Asshole me, yo.
Well, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com, graciously hosted by the Comic East Beat guys, who we talk to at the show a lot. And thank you very much for Brian and Brian for coming by. Good to see them. And check them out over at comicgeekspeak.com. Proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley, and please give us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. Graciously appreciated. Can't dig us, so can't exactly do that. Yeah, Dig's still there. It's just there's no more Dig Podcast. Hasn't been for a while. And, nah, come on. It's all good. It's all good. Oh, please. And for Brandon Christopher, for Brent Messina, for everybody else we met this weekend at MegaCon, I'm Ian Levenstein, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for
comics.
Woot. Or are we good with the printed? Okay, let's stick with that then. Check. Good. Volume didn't go down. Check.
Volume goes down as well?
Sometimes.
Really?
It's Vista.
Vista does not suck though. I was surprised how much I liked it actually.
Yeah, but it still hasn't sucked on us.
Why did your mic look much louder than mine though?
Because my mic is sexier. And I have a deeper voice. Yeah.
Ass, that's why.
It's not because I have an ass. Not because I have an ass. No, it's not because I'm an ass. I just talk loud. Alright, get it down. Get it down. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For those of you who couldn't hear a word that Brandon just said because it wasn't on mic, for those of you who can't say a word, for God's sakes, Brandon, move closer to the mic, man. Please. Yes. Do it. He just did that. Look. Yeah.
Honestly, sometimes the shirts do look cheap. A little cheap. Look, you're white nerdy. Shut the fuck up.